Time for the Hideout Minutes with the Kid McLovin.
Last week on the Hideout, Pepe and Dubs wondered why Tim Rutzer died, but R. Kelly gets to live. Pepe ends the segment early because he gets pissed that Dubs sucks as a co-host. Dubs explains the roots of his depression are a need for money and man-loving. The boys discuss what didn't live up to the hype and include their own show, The Hideout. Dubs admits trying to French kiss his leather-faced mother. Go to WJFK to download last week's show. I'm the Kid McLovin, and those were the Hideout Minutes from last week on 106.7 WJFK.
Bring the ship up to broadcast depth.
The Hideout.
We're going in.
Passing you to FM.
The Hideout.
The Hideout.
False security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber.
Hideout.
Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be.
Hideout.
Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink.
Hideout.
So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The Hideout.
It is an FM Jerry Springer freak show, trouble to the lowest common denominator.
The Hideout.
We've got a power to the people routine and a very loyal fan base.
We're all being lobotomized by this country's most influential industry.
The Hideout.
Either you're with us or you're against us.
The Hideout starts now.
Be somebody! Be somebody!
Welcome into the Hideout, 106.7 WJFK. El Jefe, not here quite yet, but he will. He will return to the Hideout very, very soon. He had an emergency, and he is on the line, so we will be able to talk with him in just a few minutes. If you want to jump on the line, too, 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Hideoutradio.com is our kind of shell of a website. There's a lot of good information on there for you. Links you to all the different fan boards, including hideoutheretics.net. That's the main fan board. But we do have threads on ronfez.net, fullblownaids.com, thirdtierboard.com, XM Radio Gold, I believe, has one up there too. So a lot of places where you can go in and talk with like-minded people. Or you can just do it tonight with us, 800-636-1067. Podcasts are available on 106.7 WJFK. I think it's just WJFK.com. So you go on there and get linked up to iTunes and just download all the shows right there if you do miss any. It's a lot of fun. Last week you heard the recap of what happened on the show. There's a little falling out between me and Jefe. We had a little tiff, but that's not the reason why he's not here today. And we're going to find out why he's not here right now by going to the phone. Jefe, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Wow, this is amazing. It's the beauty of technology.
Yeah, phones. We take calls.
No, but I mean, it's like it's more than that. I'm talking to you as I'm on my wireless phone driving across Tampa Bay. You're in Tampa Bay, but we're heard in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that?
It's like party lines.
And it's stupid because I got a radio station that can't get on the air, and that's why I'm not there with you guys. Oh. For those of you that don't know, I'm a program director during the week.
Mm-hmm.
One of my stations crapped out on me, so I had to go out to the tower site. I thought the future was in the internet or satellite radio. We're really still dealing with tower sites in 2008?
Well, we are working out here in Tampa Bay, an AM station, so we're lucky it's not a tin can with a string at this point.
I haven't got to
introduce everybody. We have Flip Satchel, the Satchel Patch, back in studio with us along with the Kid McLovin.
I loved his minutes, by the way. They were dead on.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So you left here at what, like 5:30? You got called by our station being off the air earlier in the day. And then they figured out a way to get that station back on the air. To do that, it had to be you leaving, going all the way across this regional area of Tampa Bay. And Then coming back here, what, right around 7:30?
No, I'm on my way back now.
Oh, you're already on your way back. Okay, so you'll be here for our interview today. We are interviewing Regina Lewis to talk about cleaning up your digital dirt, which means when you Google yourself. Have you ever done that?
I've Googled myself.
What do you find?
Myself? We're Googling on the computer.
Yeah.
Oh. man, I Google my stuff myself. And it comes back all that nonsense from Arkansas, some of the old pranks, things I used to do as a child, indecent exposures, going here with the Speedo. I carried a cross one time, like 8 miles across town, just dressed up like Jesus Christ.
Was that a radio bit, or is that just...
Yeah, it's called Passion of the Producer. stupid things that I've done in the past that I don't want there, that keeps me from getting jobs, that keeps me from, moving forward in my life. You know, all employer has to do is Google this, and every bit of my dirt is on there.
So we'll have Regina Lewis on later, AOL Consumer Advisor, telling you how to clean up your digital dirt. There's a site you can go to, ReputationDefender.com. So if you want to check out some of that stuff and get set up for the interview, feel free.
Well, it's funny you guys talk about that, like getting jobs and stuff, because, Dubs, I know, man, there's so much stuff from the hideout.
Yeah.
What we used to do to our producers that if anyone that was ever looking for a rock morning show when we were on the beach or a CHR morning show and they Googled the hideout, El Jefe and J-Dubs, some really awful stuff would have popped up. So it'll be good that we talked to her.
We were sending out to places that weren't rock stations, because I can see a rock station looking at it and saying, oh, cool, they keep it out there. They go a little nuts. Awesome. But we would send to some maybe CHR-ish. Type places sometimes, and some classic rock places, and they're like, I don't think this is the show for us.
You guys are a little bit too wacky. Mm. Usually here in the first
Zany.
Hour, we usually go through some of the stuff that we saw.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool during the week, and this one actually ties in a little bit. Dubs, I know that on my computer, you ought to show this one over to the Satchel Patch and the Kid. This student got in trouble for giving noogies.
Yes, the noogie kid. This kid was in high school, honor student. I guess this teacher was a constant recipient of the noogie, but this noogie, for some reason, caught her dander and got this kid suspended for 2 years. It's been reduced to 10-month suspension, but he's fighting it even now, trying to get his name cleared. Clearing up his dirt.
Just the mere mention of the noogie brings back a flood of childhood memories. Even if Bill Murray brought it to an art form, most of us dabbled in the noogie, either giving or receiving, and while the thought probably crossed our minds, we stopped short of noogieing our teacher. As Don Daler explains, that was probably a good thing.
She was a great teacher.
That's how 14-year-old Ethan Meyrenberg remembers his Spanish teacher, Sharon Cantante. Seen here getting a noogie from a different student, even though the freshman honors...
So this lady, this teacher... Got noogies all the time from different students. I would go as far as calling her a noogie lover.
Okay. That's wrong.
What?
That's wrong. That's racist. Don't be racist.
Why is that racist? Noogies. Oh. Noogies.
Oh, student was suspended for 10 months for allegedly giving her a noogie.
I lightly patted her on the head, and I gave her an affectionate hug. There was no intent to do anything wrong.
The Lynbrook School District alleges Ethan, a football and lacrosse player, forcibly grabbed his teacher by the neck and continued to press his knuckles against her scalp despite her pleas to stop.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
I love how the reporter has to describe what a noogie is.
Yeah, like anybody doesn't know, and if you don't know, why would you care? At this point in your life, you have to know what a noogie is. And the kid, McLovin, he looks very noogieable.
Oh, yeah, easily. But here's what's interesting. You hear the kid, not our kid, but that kid in the story.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like an ass.
Oh, yeah, you know, definitely is.
If you listen, he's like all talking lawyer speak.
Well, he has a lawyer sitting right next to him, so I'm sure the lawyer fed him all the lines, and he's eating them up.
I got to call you back. You guys do the show. I got the owner calling me. All right.
We'll get back to the noogie talk then. El Jefe will be back in studio in just a few minutes, but let's get back to teacher gets a noogie from a student, and now the student is kicked out of school for 2 years originally.
The teacher got the noogie from the student.
Yeah, but there's all these pictures, and I don't know. I don't have any pictures of me getting a noogie, but there are picture on top of picture of this teacher getting noogies from different students.
What is that? That sounds almost as odd in itself.
Yeah. I mean, they don't spice it up at all. They don't give wet willies. They don't give swirlies to the teacher. Only the noogie.
How is this possible? How did the teacher lose control of the classroom to where?
I think she's one of those cool teachers. You know, we all had those where we were able to talk and, you know, have fun. We had our little bits we played with our teachers.
That still sounds perverse to say, all right, come give me a noogie. Teacher time or noogie time for teacher.
A little noogie.
And they say it happened more than once, but Ethan says it didn't happen that way.
People shouldn't just throw you under the bus. You have to fight back for what they do to you.
There are pictures of other students giving Ms. Cantante noogies, and she's even smiling. Ethan's father says his son's friends back up his story. The Meyrenberg's lawyer says the 8th grade Spanish teacher didn't mind getting noogies every once in a while. And
it's an odd thing to say.
I want to give her a noogie.
She is cute.
Is she? But she likes noogies.
Yeah, she enjoys some noogies.
This wasn't the first time it happened, and, you know, everybody's standing in line to give her a noogie. It sounds like something you might see on the internet.
Yeah.
A noogie fetish.
Have you ever found, what's the oddest fetish you found online? I didn't kind of keep it clean.
Animals?
Animals
maybe.
Is weird.
Maybe. Animals. Yeah. Animals.
Yeah, the plushies. That's
I don't know what that is.
Plushies are the people who dress up like animals. They have the they're like mascots who have sex with each other.
I kind of saw that. I didn't think I was serious. I didn't think I was real. Another fetish. Oh, it would have to be a horseback riding, pony play, or something like that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the crush fetishes?
Mm-mm.
That's where guys get excited by either the stomping on bugs or small animals.
Is that a fetish?
Nude feet stomping and crushing. Bugs or animals.
I kind of like that, but I don't. It's not a fetish. It doesn't turn me on. But
yeah, this is a sexual fetish. Now you don't watch porn, the Kid McLovin,
right?
Weird or regular,
right?
So you've never come across any of these things.
Weird to him.
I've never come
missionary,
across people.
Yeah,
people
missionaries are just
getting
odd,
excited.
Yeah,
what a concept.
Stomping on. Animals.
Well, no,
it's some of the funniest stuff you'll ever watch, honestly.
I've actually kind of had, you know, something like that. I've been laying down in bed with my girl, and a roach come across the floor, and you have to go stomp it, you know?
Yeah, but is that a turn on?
It'd be
a really odd thing to be turned on
I
by.
I got back in the bed feeling like her hero. Like I was King Arthur, and I just slayed the dragon, and I had just saved her from the awful roach she was screaming about.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. Whenever you can find out what a chick is afraid of, If you can just kind of focus on that and put her in the situation where she's going to be afraid, but you aren't afraid, so you become the hero. So you're putting her in harm's way. You're like throwing her in front of a speeding 18-wheel truck just to push her out of the way from it again.
Just to save her?
Yeah.
I did that today with my girl. As a matter of fact, she's afraid of bees. And being, you know, June, a lot of the bees and things like that are out in these wasps. She wouldn't even come out of the house. She was freaked out. I killed 8 of them with a flip-flop.
Have you ever frozen a bee?
No, I have not.
That's fun.
You can fly them, right?
Yeah, whatever you do, you just catch a bee, put it in like a fridge or freezer. Don't, you know, freeze it till it's an icicle, but you'll see it slow down, and then fall asleep. It hibernates. So then you take that bee, you tie a little string around it, and when it warms up, it comes back alive, and then you can walk it around on a leash.
I've seen somebody flying a bee like a kite before.
Yeah, it's fun.
Now, what would possess you to try that? What would possess you to do something like that?
I don't know. What would possess you to look at porn? It's just something you do.
Yeah, it was in science class. Someone mentioned it. I'm like, no way. That can't be real. And so I caught a bee, put it in the fridge, and then I was, for like 4 months straight, I was walking around bees thinking I was the coolest kid in town.
It is, man. A lot of people haven't seen anything like that. And if you go up to a good way to meet a chick is meet my pet bee. This is, I don't know.
You know what?
Insert bee name here.
That wouldn't work for me, though, because the girl would be terrified of bees.
That's why you're her savior.
Yeah, you're like, I'm the beast master. Look at me.
Right, I train
this bee.
Here, take a look at this bee. She's running away. Oh, wait, I'm trying to save you from it.
Yeah, throw it on her stinger. Let's finish this noogie story up just real quick.
He wants Ethan's name cleared.
We need to vindicate Ethan and pull him out of this ridiculous mess that is the responsibility of the school administrators. They're the ones with blood on their hands.
As for Ethan, he just hopes to return to Lynbrook High.
I hope to return to Lynbrook next year clean.
Don Daler, CBS 2 News.
All over the noogie, huh? School district says Ethan was given a fair hearing. Superintendent reduced the suspension from 2 years. 2 years for the Noogie to 10 months. Right now, Ethan lives in East Rockaway and attends school there, but would be allowed to return to Lynbrook on September 1st.
Yep, student suspended for 10 months, originally 2 years for the Noogie, 800-636-1067.
I missed something.
What?
I missed something in this story. Something's not clicking right in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Who did the kid give a noogie to? The teacher?
The teacher.
The teacher got noogies from everybody.
Yeah.
The teacher had a noogie fetish.
Well, I don't know if it was a fetish, but she definitely...
She enjoyed it.
It has to be a fetish, because I've never had a teacher in all my years of school give them a noogie.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I've never had a teacher, you know, ever ask for a noogie, but then besides that, you stand in line, don't break in line to give me a noogie. You'll all stand here, take your turn, you'll all get your chance to give me a noogie, and instead of learning something, instead of me teaching you, you're going to give me noogies all day.
From what I hear with this one, it seems like she claims it was a very rough noogie. She got a headlock from the kid, and he was, you know, grinding his knuckles into her head really hard. And a noogie can hurt. If you do it hard enough, that can really hurt. It can be playful. It can be something you can do with a girlfriend, or it can be something, you know, where you're just demoralizing someone.
This teacher should be put in the courtroom and pimp slapped by everybody on the jury for bringing something this stupid, using tax dollars, and suspending a kid for 2 years?
Yeah, that's upsetting that I don't know how many tax dollars went to putting this kid through all these different channels. Now the parents have to waste their hard-earned money on a lawyer for a noogie.
I can't stand stupid-ass laws and stupid-ass rules to where they'll just fabricate something and say, all right, this kid is suspended for 2 years for giving a rough noogie to a teacher. First of all, the teacher should be fired for having students touch her, period.
Yeah.
You know, there should be no contact between student and teacher unless you're shaking hands or you accidentally bump each other when you're handing back test papers.
I'll tell you what.
But that's stupid. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I would be so nervous if I was a teacher. I'll tell you something about me. I'm afraid of children. And here's the reason why. Because I'm afraid, you know, I'll be, say, I'm at a, some kind of get together and someone has their kids there. And I walk into the kitchen to get me a glass of water. That's pretty normal. Well, the kid's in there getting a glass of water too. And I walk up to the sink, I reach to get the cup, and for some reason my hand brushes against her buttocks. And then the kid starts yelling that I touched her ass.
What's the kid's ass doing by the sink?
Wow. Tomato, I'm just trying to set out something. Like a situation. This isn't an exact science. This is just what goes on in my convoluted head. So I run my hand up to get a glass. You know, it runs by my waist, and so it'll probably brush something down there. And then the kid starts yelling that I touched.
Yeah.
And what are you going to believe?
You're
some 7-year-old girl or me?
The 7-year-old girl.
Yeah, so I just keep myself out of the situation completely to make sure that I don't get in any trouble. This happened to me at a Walmart in a restroom. I don't know if either of you guys have heard this story.
I've had to do something similar like that, but go ahead.
I was in a Walmart restroom. I walk in, like some 10-year-old kid is standing in the restroom. He's at the urinal, so I walk past all the urinals and go up to the stall with the toilet and everything. Once I close the door to the stall, I hear, "Hi!" coming out from outside the stall. And so I politely say, "Hello." And then he yells at me, "What's your name?" I say, "Justin." And then he runs out yelling, "Mom, some guy's talking to me."
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
I freaked. And I bolted. I ran out of the bathroom, past the parent and the kid, to my car.
There goes Justin.
Which had to look like I was guilty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the only thing that made sense in my head. I had to just get out of the situation.
Get the hell out of there as fast as you can. That's insane. Now, I was actually babysitting a kid one time, and we needed food.
I don't do that.
I know. This was odd. The mom was a crack whore.
Yeah.
She had to go to work. She didn't have a babysitter. Mm-hmm. The poor little kid was a good kid, 3 years old, you know, cute as can be. And I said, "Listen, crackhead neighbor, I will do you a favor. I will watch your kid for 4 hours until, you know, somebody else can come off work and come pick this kid up."
Yeah.
Well, she's like, "Here's some money." And I told her I was going by the grocery store. He can come. She gave me some money for him to get some snacks or something like that. And so we get in the grocery store, and the kid First thing we get in there, he's got to go to the bathroom, and he's sitting there grabbing himself. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom. So here I am stuck in this predicament.
Yeah.
What do I do? You know, the kid can't, you know, I don't know if he can hold himself and hit the toilet. I don't know if he's going to, you know, pee all over the floor or what he's going to do. But I ended up having to go in there to the stall. I was like, you know, pull your pants down. He didn't come anywhere close to the wall urinal. And I just had to hold him up by his armpits and just let him go.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sitting here good night, you know.
If somebody comes in, look bad.
They'll probably think I'm a parent or something like that. But, it, you know, some, that type of situation,
there's a great struggle.
Yeah. It doesn't look good at all.
El Jefe's back on the line.
Hey, boys. It's interesting to hear you guys change pedophile stories.
these are just afraid of being accused stories. They aren't actual pedophile stories.
Those haven't come out.
It sounds to me like you're just leaving out details.
It's a wall of alibis being thrown out of the radio today.
Yeah, every time I hear you tell that story about the Walmart doves, it always changes somehow.
How?
It always changes just a little bit. The focus on the fact more and more that you're guilty.
I am not guilty. That story has stayed the same regardless.
Right. Oddly enough, I don't have any situations like that for me because I'm not a pedophile.
We aren't either. We just live life.
16-year-old girls don't count.
Now, let me ask you, did you check this guy from that hideout download on my computer about the kid and the noogie?
Yeah.
I think 2 years is an appropriate punishment. I don't know if y'all covered that.
Yeah, that's what kind of led us into this. What got us into this is, why is a teacher letting the kid touch her at all anyway? Because there's all these different kids giving this teacher noogies. You have to be smart enough just to take yourself out of those situations completely.
Yeah, but are we really to the point now where we can't give a student a hug?
No, you can't.
A student a hug? What about a teacher that gets up in the class and lets her students get in line and repeatedly give her noogies because she enjoys them?
That sounds like a fetish.
But what's sexual there? There's nothing sexual there.
Well, that's what we're talking about, though. There's many fetishes that don't seem sexual, like crush fetishes. Where people are stomping on bugs and animals, but they find it sexually arousing.
So you think she was really enjoying the noogie?
Yeah.
She has a noogie fetish.
Yeah.
She had to be enjoying them to allow people to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but haven't you ever gone to, like, the barber or something and, you know, the barber?
He tussles. He doesn't noogie.
Yeah, the barber gives you a noogie. You're not giving the barber a noogie. It's not everybody that comes and sits in my chair and rub my head.
Good point.
But the barber, let's just call him Joel.
Okay.
You know, he sits there and he touches the back of your neck and it tickles a little bit, you know, a little funny feeling, and you know, he's
that's happened to me before.
Hair. Yeah, it's not overly sexual. It's, you know, it just feels good.
But that's something where he's supposed to be touching your head, unlike
a teacher
who's not supposed to be touching you whatsoever, or you touching her, in that way either. So. I think as a teacher, you just got to take yourself out of that situation.
I think we just have to agree to disagree.
I think we do. All right, next story here. This is one that I found earlier on in the week, and I had to bring it to us. A guy and a girl married 18 years. They decide to get divorced. Why? Because she started going through a sex change. And on top of that, every month, he has to pay her $1,250 a month in alimony. He's fighting it, and here's the story.
Any man's ex-wife does not have a beard, mustache, and a penis. That's not my ex-wife. I don't know who that is. Once upon a time, I was sleeping with that person and you know, kissing, making love with that person or whatever. It grosses me out.
From Julia to Julio. A sex change that broke up this marriage and broke the bank
Julio?
To the tune of $70,000 in alimony.
$70,000 he's paid so far. That's not like his top out. He's paid $70,000 so far, and he continues to pay $1,200 a month.
That's my income. That's my monthly income right there. So he's paying her enough to live on him. What do I call her? She's got a beard. She's a circus freak.
Yeah.
She's got a Peter.
Yeah.
Uh, Good night. Can you imagine? What would you do if you were married to that for 18 years? He said he made love to that bitch.
Of course. They were married for 18 years. Now, here's the issue. Everybody likes to see their ex go downhill and fast. But this way, I think, blows up in your face. You wouldn't want to see this.
Because it seems like Julio, I guess she's Mexican now too, or Spanish, is happy. You know, it's like she's happy being a man or something like that.
Yeah, well, she looks ecstatic. And she looks actually pretty convincing for a dude.
All right, I got a question for you. All right, let me play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
But don't you think he should have stuck it out for better or worse, richer or poorer, penis or not?
No, she's the one who wanted the divorce. He didn't even file for it. It was her.
But don't you think he could have made it work?
No, I don't think he could have. Hefe's over here playing homo's advocate. I don't think that would work. Let's continue with the story.
Wait, I got a question for Sasha Pass, because other than me, he's the only other one in a relationship. Your chick, who apparently is a hot Cuban, you know, just like unicorns, they don't really exist, but whatever. If your chick decided that she wanted to become a dude, do you think realistically you could stay with her or no?
First off, I would try to beat it out of her, and if not, if she still had the urge to be a man.
And you know what? If she's going to be a man, she gets beaten like a man.
You got a point there to that. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying hit wives, but you can hit your husband.
Yeah. I would leave. I would get the hell away. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be marrying your chick if you thought she wanted to be a man.
Your chick would probably take a beating because she's Cuban. She'd probably look like Jose Canseco if she got the sex change. But secondly, I think I'd stay.
Why?
I think my chick would be like one of those kind of hot gay dudes.
Like Doves. It'd be like living with Doves all over again.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, but he's not hot. He's just
gay. I am. I'm sexy.
Would you still sleep with him?
Does it still have the same ass?
No, it has
the
penis.
Yeah, same butt, though, yeah.
I don't know. Am I willing? If I have to pay alimony, because here's the question.
Yeah.
Is it between the alimony or just going gay?
Here's the question. To pay or not to gay?
Is gay worth $12.50 a month?
Hell no.
No.
Yes.
No way.
I'll tell you what. I would do a lot of stuff to a dude for some money, but I don't want people to know about it, and I don't want to be married to him.
No, you wouldn't have to. That's what I'm saying. Like, $12.50, you get $12.50 a month, alimony, no one's going to know, whatever you want to call it. But you get to keep $12.50. Is that worth just going gay for?
No, not at all. Now,
you can make more money as a bartender at a gay strip club.
Hey, by the way, you guys want anything from Starbucks?
Yeah, give me a caramel latte.
Y'all are fairies.
Caramel latte?
Caramel latte. All right, let's continue with this audio.
Just ask Larry Roach. He's the ex-husband whose paycheck is now paying for Julia's manhood.
I hate paydays. It goes towards paying...
Are you...
That's awesome.
Can you put your hand over the phone while you do that?
Rap. Order and rap. I want a latte.
All right.
Hey, put me on hold so you don't hear the...
put that fan on hold and I'll bring him back up in a minute.
Medication for steroids, testosterone, maintain a beard, mustache, and a penis. I didn't marry a man. I didn't divorce a man. The law's making me pay to a man.
On this film.
Larry was married to Julia for 18 years.
Who would think that you marry someone and they're just going to leave you and be the same sex you are.
Years later, Julia and Larry began growing apart. And then one day, suddenly, Julia cut off all of her long, curly hair.
Oh, yeah, I want to get my hair cut. Okay. But then when she cut a little bit at a time, started really chopping it off and really got butch looking. And I came home from work one day, and then she had all these tattoos all over.
After the short hair and tattoos... came the testosterone injections.
And this is testosterone that was ordered from either Brazil or Mexico through the internet.
Larry says he caught Julia late one night injecting herself with a needle. She said the hormones helped her headaches. But then...
her voice started getting deeper, and I noticed it. And she didn't care.
After that, Larry says Julia started growing a beard, and then began walking like a man.
What goes through your mind? 18 years of marriage. That's a long time. I was with a chick for 5 years. That's my longest relationship. And that was a long time.
That is a long time.
18 years. And then she just, you had to have seen it before. She had to have wore a special belt one time with you and wanted to, you know, just plow. There had to have been a time where you said, something's off, and you just ignored it.
My favorite part of that audio clip is it says, he pays to for her to maintain a beard, a mustache, and a penis.
Yeah. Well, and that's something, as if you're going through a sexual change like that, you have to maintain, you have to keep on taking these pills.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any of these, like, documentaries on this?
No.
You basically take testosterone and some steroids and that kind of stuff, and you actually grow a male sex organ.
What?
Out of a one certain part of a female sex organ, that creates the male one.
Really?
Yeah, so if you take these pills, you know, and you beef up, you turn into China doll.
Really?
Yeah. So, that's the change this woman went through while they were still together for a lot of it.
How do you not know? I mean, there's got to be, like you're saying, red flags all over the place that my broad wants to be a dude.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you're like, you know what? I need a chick that thinks like a man. But you never expect her to go this far.
No, absolutely not. And it's totally overboard. Out of the question, I think domestic violence would not be a problem.
You know, it's two guys now. It's just a bar fight at that point.
It is. You know, I'll buy you a drink. You buy me a drink. We'll knock down about a six-pack apiece and go at it in the parking lot.
Throw bows, yeah. Now, what do you think about the judge not turning over his... do you think he should have to pay?
That's absolutely awful.
No, he shouldn't have to pay.
As a guy, I don't think he should have to pay. In a legal sense.
Where did she?
In a legal sense, he shouldn't have to pay.
No, in the legal sense, he should.
Legalities, where's she getting the drugs to do this?
From she was getting them from Brazil.
Because it's not legal. No. It's not legal here, so why is he having to pay for an illegal drug habit to where she's having to go out of country to buy drugs to keep this up?
That's a good question, too. She might be getting them legally now, but at first, when they were getting delivered to his house, they were coming from Brazil or somewhere like that. Now, I don't think he should have to pay as a man, but as for legally, yeah, because this could be held up as precedence to, hey, this is something that every guy could go do if their ex-wife goes and gets fat. Hey, I wasn't married to some fat chick. I ain't paying some fat chick.
Legally, she is becoming a man, though, correct?
You can legally look like a man, but on your records, it'll always say female.
But if she's becoming a man, wouldn't the same-sex marriage laws...
That would be interesting.
Because then, wouldn't that make the marriage pretty much void?
But you can't change your sex on, like, the actual legal documents, so I don't know. McLovin, do you have a headline? Just give me the title of your headline. We're going to come back with it.
New York man accused of hiding in woman's couch.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We'll be right back on The Hideout, 106.7 WJFK.
Washington's talk show.
Prostitutes, pimps, gamblers.
Hideout with El Jefe and J-Dubs.
Everybody's out.
5 seconds. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. 2. 1.
A juvenile comic and his straight man.
The Hideout with El Jefe and J-Dubs.
Pathetic? You be the judge.
Back in the Hideout on a Saturday night. It's Jefe and Dubs, 106.7 WJFK. Back in studio, I am Jefe. Thank you for holding down the Hideout, boys. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. How'd I go out there?
Satchel Patch, the Kid McLovin, good to see you boys, as usual. Yeah, I drive out to the tower site. For those of you that maybe missed that first segment, I wasn't here.
Mm.
You boys did great, though. Yeah, I get out there to make sure we get our station back on the air.
Yeah.
And it gets on the air as soon as I get in.
That's how it always goes. At least you have to stay out there longer than you may have. You know, a lot of times you'll go out there and do these kinds of things, and then you'll end up having to stay out there and kind of check something for the engineer, and then you end up out there till 9. You wouldn't have been back at the whole show, maybe.
No, so it was good. I want to go back for a moment, though, to the to the guy that had to pay for the transvestite. I mean, I know we're going to hit some other stuff, but like, I was really thinking about it during the commercial break and while I was at Starbucks, and maybe because I saw a couple of dudes that used to be chicks.
Yeah.
And I'm there and I'm thinking, that's almost the perfect scenario. Like, your chick decides she wants to become a dude.
Don't do it physically, that's all I ask.
And then the two of you now can go out and get other women. Because you know by 18 years in, you're probably sick of it. It's the same old thing anyway, this is like the perfect excuse for you to go get some new trim.
I'll tell you what, I always like a girl spicing it up. But don't throw a hot dog in there to spice it up. That's not how you do it. There's different ways of spicing up. That ain't one of them.
It is the first hour here in the Hideout, so we go through some of the stuff that we thought was kind of cool during the week. We wanted to bring to this Hideout roundtable. The Kid McLovin, what was this? Guy hides in couch?
Yes.
I didn't get caught.
A man in New York was accused of hiding in a woman's couch. Police say a New York man cut a hole in a woman's couch and hid in the carved-out space until she came home. Newburgh police said the woman sat on the couch Wednesday evening and felt a bump in the cushion's move. She jumped up and David Joe Lamones emerged from his hiding place, knocking a cell phone out of her hand.
They didn't really explain why
what
he was...
What is he doing in her couch?
Well, sounds like to me he's scared her good. Gotcha!
I've
done some pretty elaborate things to scare some people. I want to give this guy kudos, tip my hat to him. He really went all out to go out there, cut a hole in her couch, get inside the cushions, and wait till she sat down, then jump out. Gotcha! That's actually, I would like to shake his hand. He did a tremendous job.
I guarantee you there's going to be some very, very bad stuff happening. I don't know what he was there for, but it couldn't have been, to jump out and give her a box of chocolates. It was to jump out and give her a black eye and then have his way with her. I guarantee it.
I don't know.
Maybe
the guy was doing a social experiment. Maybe this was a whole thing. He was going to be smuggling some Mexicans. He wanted to see how many he could get into a couch. And this bitch 12. Came home and ruined it. No, it's actually 15.
I'm going for the scare tactic. I've done several things. I've hidden in closets, like not hiding it, shut the door. I'm talking about get behind the clothes, get behind everything with your back against the wall to where somebody would open their closet door and would be looking eye to eye, and they had no clue I was there. And I've had it backfire a couple of times, but I've done some pretty...
Backfire how?
I did it to one of my roommates when he thought he was the only one there. And he came out of the shower butt naked and started getting into his closet. And there I was like, dang, I'm sitting here he is butt naked thinking he was by himself. It was awful. He's there, got dressed, and finally I had the chance to jump out and scare him. Scared the crap out of him. But then, after he scared...
I would swing. I know I would.
His heart started beating again. And then 2 or 3 minutes, and he was like, I was naked the whole time in here, and you're just sitting in there being quiet,
Well, I was breathing heavy, but whatever. Here, the other thing, though, is like why I think this wasn't something malicious. Oh, I think this is probably just a misunderstanding. Is because of the fact that he did all this to like hide in her couch. Like, if you were gonna do something to get the chick, you would have hid maybe in a closet. Like, how is he gonna surprise her if he's just on the couch? I know he popped up and it's kind of shocking someone's on your couch, but he easily could have hidden her shower. I think this is a real big misunderstanding. This is a waste of the cops' time, to be perfectly honest with you.
If you're a killer, which, if thoughts have run through my head before, this is a good scenario. If she happens, say it's a rainy day, and she goes into the closet to put her raincoat up, boom, there he is. She screams. Then he has a hard time killing her and getting out during the daylight. If he gets in her couch when nobody's home, she doesn't know he's there, wait till she falls asleep. Let her get some good sleep in when she hits that deep rest period.
Yeah.
Stand over, hover for a little while, do your, fetish-type things while she's sleeping, and then slit her throat. She never makes a sound. You get out in the middle of the night, nobody knows the less.
You seem like you really had this planned. You seem like this is almost an exit strategy.
There's a love sleep, though. It wasn't.
It's funny you talk about the perfect crime. I saw this thing today, and it's funny because it kind of hits home to me. This guy, he's finally getting charged. For they say it was a murder of his wife. They get married in Birmingham, Alabama. They go vacation honeymoon. Their honeymoon, all right? Honeymoon in Australia. They go scuba diving. Apparently what they're saying this dude did, because he was an experienced scuba diver and she wasn't. Apparently what they say that he did, he goes over and he turns off her oxygen. He turns off her oxygen so she suffocates. And then he plays it off like she panicked and something happened and she died. but the people have finally brought charges 5 years later because of the fact that they think your story isn't adding up, something's a little odd here. It seems
and,
like
also,
you turned off the oxygen.
Also, they took a high premium out on her life insurance before they went out.
I think where did you see this?
I think it was like I said on CNN. It was probably on Drudge.
I saw that. I think I watched the special. But the thing is, if he cut off her oxygen, like he may have held her there, because if you're below the water and you can't breathe, you're swimming to the top, something furious.
Yeah. I thought they were like maybe 35 feet down. I don't know.
I think that's a very, very good way if you want to kill someone.
Well, the dude gets busted, but I'm just thinking, like, okay.
He went 5 years, though. That's a long time, you know?
And the reason I say it hits home close to home for me is because my fiance loves to scuba dive.
Yeah.
And we'll be having a honeymoon soon. And so I saw this, and I'm like, oh, I start chuckling. She's like, what are you laughing about? And I tell her, and she immediately knows. But I'm thinking, all right, imagine you're there with your loved one. You just committed 11 days previous that you're going to spend the rest of your lives with each other.
Yeah, and you found out that 11 days is pretty long.
You're seeing the gorgeous Australian, you know, Great Barrier Reef. You know what I mean? You're down there. It's like a special moment. You think he comes. He swims over to you to, like, I don't know if he wants to maybe hold your hand and give you a hug and just be like, this is awesome. And then he just goes over and turns off that oxygen. And just the look, like the look on the chick's face where she's got to be like, what's going on here? What's going on? Oh, my, what's going on? Because he described that she had that what's going on, you know, that panic, but
that,
I don't know.
That has to be your hiding in the couch with your chick. You have to do that to her while you guys are down there and just turn it off for a second and then turn it back on and say, gotcha.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
And LOL.
Then, and my chick, who's an avid scuba diver, she was like, well, she starts going on through all these scenarios. Well, maybe, you know, you're supposed to have a secondary hose and all this. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess that plan isn't going to work. She knows a little bit too much about escaping that.
Well, the thing is you've got to learn how to control your woman. It's all of, you know, so things like this don't happen. And I
even 11 days in?
No, it's you got to control your woman.
Or you got to dress up like a shark.
You got to control your woman from day one. And because if you don't, things like this can happen. And I came across a story where a guy, you know, decided to take control over his woman, you know. And it sounds great to me, and it's my mentality, not maybe my mentality, but the way guys should treat women nowadays, because, you know, they for years they wanted to step out and get more rights and stuff like that. They almost overstepping their boundaries a little bit, and this woman tried to do that, and this guy, you know, went in. This guy was arrested for kidnapping his ex-girlfriend and bringing her back to his place so she could get the ironing done. Apparently, the woman overstepped her boundaries a little too much.
What?
This man was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping his ex-girlfriend from a bar, taking her home, forcing her to iron his clothes, wash the dishes. This kid was 43 years old. So, apparently, he had control over his woman. She overstepped her boundaries a little bit, and he decided it's time to get control.
I don't know how many times you iron clothes, but that shoulder crease is impossible to get. And you need a chick over there to do that. And if she leaves you, screw the sex that you're missing out on. You're missing out on some nicely pressed shirts.
A woman's touch goes a long way.
Yeah.
But you're talking about beating them.
I'm not talking about beating them. I'm saying control.
Kidnapping.
You must control your woman. It happened, you know, I was on vacation last week for one instance. We were, you know, living off the land, went camping on a beautiful lake in Arkansas. And my brother's girlfriend, I brought my girlfriend back. He brought his girlfriend. And they get in a little argument, and she goes storming off in the middle of the woods, and then, you know, she's gone for 2 hours, and then my brother starts freaking out, where's my girl, where's my girl? And my dad's just walking by, shaking his head, and he looked at me and said, Weasel doesn't know how to control his woman.
Does everybody have a stupid nickname? We just have it because it's in the hideout. You have it because it's Arkansas.
It's the Weasel. He's the Weasel. But he said Weasel can't control his woman. And I looked over at my girl. She was over there peeling potatoes for dinner. She was. We were grilling steaks. I looked over. She was sitting at the picnic table peeling potatoes to make French fries to go into steaks. And, you know, my dad looked at me, Weasel can't control his woman. And I was like, you know,
go talk to your brother Weasel.
There's a point to that. And this guy, his girlfriend overstepped the boundaries. She went out to the bar with some girlfriends, apparently without asking, which is a big no-no. Ladies night out without approval. You know, not on this guy's watch. He gets arrested for kidnapping. That's not kidnapping. The police should commend him and say, you know, look at his shirt. He's coming out there probably in his boxer shorts, probably wasn't matching, you know, wearing flip-flops, looking ridiculous. Where if he had his wife in control, should have something nice ironed, laid out, and say, you know, this is what you're going to wear today.
It is the Hideout, Hefe and Dubs, the Satchel Patch, the Kid McLovin, 106.7 to be JFK. Now listen, I'm not all about the keeping the pimp hand strong or whatever you want to call it.
Control.
But I will say that I do have my chick in control. Like, I got it trained right.
You
got
to control your woman.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, this is coming off the AOL Instant Messenger. Hideout Radio is the name on there. I bet this is going back to the story about the scuba divers.
Right.
Who, on their honeymoon, the oxygen got turned off. I bet their wedding song was by Maroon 5, Harder and Harder to Breathe.
Yeah, Take Every Breath Away. Yeah, so any of those, absolutely. All right, well, listen. I think what we've pretty much learned here during this segment is that it's okay if your chick wants to get a sex change because it's probably a good thing.
Lack of that's loss of control right there.
Right.
He did not have control of that woman, and you see what happens when you lose control of a woman. She goes off and starts maintaining a beard, goatee, and a penis.
800-636-1067.
Yeah, that is the definition of out of control.
If you want to get in on the Hideout tonight. McLovin, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up here as we're kind of going about all the stuff we talked about? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good.
All right, cool. Coming up in just a few minutes, we have Regina Lewis. She is going to tell us how to clean up your digital dirt. She is an AOL consumer advisor. She's going to clean up your digital dirt is basically when you Google yourself, if there's some unfavorable...
On the computer.
If there's some unfavorable things that pop up, how do you keep that from happening?
Like, I don't know, like, if we were each to Google ourselves, I don't think that there'd be anything positive.
No. You know, you think there might be a few negative things if you're a regular person. There may be a few positive things if you're a member of the Hideout.
Part of the reason, we use, fake names is just because in case something like this happens, F.A. Dubs, Satchel Patch, the Kid McLovin. I don't know if my real name got Googled anywhere. I don't know.
But see, if you get in serious enough trouble, then, the lead story, there may be four or five stories on your name, but then in the following court documents and then the court cases, then your real name comes out. So you not only would you need to have your alias, eliminated, but y'all like to gamble at all? Y'all gamble?
I do.
Every once in a while.
Let's throw out, since we're going to have this girl digital dirt, we can Google ourselves and have the listeners out there Google our names. And kind of set an over-under on how many things are going to pop up that we'd like to have erased.
I don't know. All right, well, let me look. I mean, we're Googling El Jefe.
I'm thinking, you Google El Jefe, you Google Dubs, I'll Google Flip Satchel. I'm thinking I probably have right around three or four, maybe five, things that I'd like to have wiped off. So I set my over-under at three. The over-under's at three. You know, you take an over, you take an under.
I think mine would be right around three or four, too. I'd take the over on you.
Take the over on me? What would you take the over on you if the over-under's three?
I'd probably take the under on... Cause see, here's the scenario, though. Like, it depends. You have to say, what's the situation?
Well,
is the situation for just, like, regular life? Because there's so much stuff under Hefe.
Just if you yourself would want to get that stuff deleted.
Or what about a job, employer?
Right.
Because I think that could be a way, like, people that have made mistakes that they want off there that they don't want employers to find about... An employer, and you being a boss, you could look at it from your perspective, and would you hire this person?
Right. And I'll tell you what, there's people out there who go looking a little bit deeper than you'd think. Like me, when I was looking at roommates and everything, I would get emails back from people saying, hey, this is me, blah, blah, blah. And I would go through, I'd search their email, I'd figure out, what their MySpace and everything throughout their email. And I just find as much on them as possible. I find it just being thorough.
Right.
Some people call it creepy.
All right, I'll tell you this story real fast. In my regular daytime job during the week, I was doing interviews for a position that we have open.
Yeah.
And so the woman sat down and, I gave her my regular name during the week. And she goes, you're a man by many names. And I am, and I'm interviewing her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she starts grilling you.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I immediately, my body posture changed because during the week, I'm program director, I'm Dro Silva.
Yeah.
On the weekends, I'm El Jefe. If you Google Dro Silva, the first thing that pops up is hideoutheretics.net.
Ugh.
And so then she goes there. Then there was something from DCR TV where Alex Jimenez, El Jefe, now is Dro Silva. And so I'm stopping thinking, I'm the one that's interviewing her. Good for her. She's obviously a great candidate. She did her homework. But if she dug deeper at all on hideoutheretics.net and, like, knows the stuff from the hideout. And, like, but I immediately, when she said that, I mean, I was kind of sitting here like, then I go like this. I kind of sit back and I, you know, I do the defensive cross my arms thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do a lot of radio shows. So,
well, then you got to, like, take in perspective.
She didn't get hired, did she?
She might.
Well, you think about that, that stuff could be, if you have that stuff wiped out, you know, it's not on there. You're doing the interview process. You're in control. She actually took control of the interview process, because that right there, if she comes on, she can use that, you know, for a lawsuit, you know, say sexual discrimination, you know.
But that is a scary thing, and I want to talk to this chick about it next. Like, there is nothing now. There is nothing that the power of Google that you won't know about. Like, I even got I found this story that I want to tell you guys about in a second, about some trick that gets drunk on a plane, starts throwing around the N-bomb, this whole situation. But from now on, anytime she will go and try to get a job, I think she was only like 20-something. From now on, whenever she tries to go get a job, this chick, this will always pop up.
Follow her forever.
She called a flight attendant the N-bomb, and her friend saying, well, she's okay if she drinks beer, and she's nice if she's sober, but if you give her vodka, she's a bitch. You know? And it's like, wow, from now on, that will always be there. And that's like, we're in that age where anything we ever do from now on, it's out there.
And there's another question in there too. Are there any alcohols that change you as a person?
Yes.
Is it all alcohol, or liquor. Is it just liquor?
Liquor. I don't drink liquor personally.
What happens to you?
You turn into a racist?
I wake up in jail. I have before. I've woken up in jail. I have, you know, completely, you know, what's going on here, you know, and then I was under. You know, I was had it explained to me that I was Houdini, taking handcuffs off, and
that was this chick. She was like, I don't remember calling the N-bomb. Yeah. I don't remember fighting. I don't remember any handcuffs.
I got horse-tied. I had pictures of me horse-tied in the back of a cop car with the leash shutting the door, and I had no recollection of it. And my parents wouldn't come get me out of jail. They left me. I've woken up in jail. I've, you know, total memory loss. You know, not that they're waking up next to a 300-pounder is wrong or bad, but
it is.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this chick, her brother goes, yeah, those nasty comments, the N-bombs, that's just drunk talk. My sister isn't a racist.
That's why, sorry, officer, I had to wreck. I was drunk. Normally, if I'm driving, I'm a good driver, but I was drunk.
I was just like, do you think that's a good defense? Do you think you're the real you when you're drunk, or
no.
Is that the fake you?
I have anxiety about days after I drink. Like, I'll think back, and it's a slow drip that comes back in my head of the stupid stuff I would say the day before. And
oh, yeah.
I get embarrassed that
embarrassed
day.
Embarrassed for yourself?
Yeah, embarrassed. And I think everybody's thinking about how much of an ass I was the night before, and I have high anxiety from it.
Right.
I barely drink.
But it's like shooting salad. That's what I have a term for. And it's pretty much, you can't control what comes out of your mouth. You're just talking, and it happens with drugs as well. So, you know, if you're under the influence of things, you talk about things you ordinarily wouldn't. And a lot of it can be embarrassing, especially with, you know, I would have friends that would use cocaine, for instance. And the stuff they would talk about, they'd be having a conversation of how their parents had back problems in high school. And I'd be sitting there, what the hell are you talking about? And it happens with alcohol, too. So I think definitely alcohol changes, your perspective.
Let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll talk to this chick about the
digital. Regina Lewis, cleaning up your digital dirt. AOL Consumer Advisor. The website is reputationdefender.com.
And the other thing we're going to do, too, after that is we'll play a little game show that we started playing a couple of weeks ago. We'll give out some prizes called Hideout or Hogwash. I'm going to give you the example one now. And we're going to have to ponder it, all right? You got to ponder it for the next 30 minutes. And the basically is this statement true or is it hogwash, all right? And that's what you'll be playing for. Here's the statement. Did a Hideout member once be a suspect for a felony investigation involving a city worker, an orange, a tractor, and a school bus? Hideout or hogwash? All right, in 30 minutes we'll play the game and give you the answer to that. But first, we'll see if we can dig up some digital dirt next in the Hideout 106.7 WJFK.
Here's a confession. I'm in love with a man. What? I'm in love with a man. A man called God.
Does that make me gay? Am I gay for God? You betcha.
You're in the Hideout. Learn more at hideoutradio.com.
It's time for the Hideout Minutes with the Kid McLovin.
In the first hour of the Hideout, we learned about J. Doug's Walmart bathroom stories. We talked about a woman becoming a man and how it affects a marriage. We talked about a man hiding in the couch. We talked about a scuba diving murder. Satchel Patch talked about how alcohol affects him. I'm the Kid McLovin, and now you're up to date on the Hideout.
Good evening, godless sodomite. The Hideout, or we will destroy this place.
Hideout. Saturday night means the Hideout in D.C. It's 106.7 WJFK. I am El Jefe. That is J-Dubs. The Satchel Patch is here, along with the Kid McLovin, and another fine Kid McLovin news update. I'm loving it, man. I really am. It's good stuff over there. First hour, like you heard, was a lot of headline stuff. We got some more of that to get to. In a moment, we'll be playing the game Hideout or Hogwash. But we've spent the break Googling ourselves, in the computer sense of the word. And we're doing this because one of the main things about the Hideout is when you're in the Hideout, during the week, you gotta be, you know, the person that you put on. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's not who you really want to be. You're at your job. You have stuff you got to do. But Saturday nights in the Hideout, that's where you use a fake name. Hefe, Dubs, Satchel Patch, the Kid McLovin. So that, honestly, for this exact reason why we're about to talk to Regina Lewis from AOL, it's this exact reason. Because I just Googled myself.
Mm-hmm.
All, like, seven names that I've ever used before. And to go to your point a second ago, Satchel Patch, there's nothing that I think I would be offended by or that I would worry about people seeing if I gave them the right name.
But when you give them one name, it can spider into, if they do enough research, they'll find the other names.
Yeah, if they research the name during the week that the program director, the AM talk show host, Drew Silva, El Jefe, pops up. But I'm okay with that. You know, but as far as my real name and real stuff, none of that stuff pops up. So I'm not too concerned. Hey, let's talk to Regina really quickly. Regina Lewis is the AOL Consumer Advisor. And this is so apropos for the four boys here in the Hideout. Regina, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome into the Hideout. How are you?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, here's what's going on. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to listen to the show at all, but the reason we've brought you in is because we are four deviants. Not only in our radio life, but some of us in our personal lives. And the whole thing about cleaning up your digital dirt, as soon as we saw that AOL was giving out some tips on this, we were like, we got to do it. It's kept us from getting jobs. It's kept us from getting chicks. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff that it's kept us from doing. What do you call digital dirt, though, just so we get some background on this?
Well, you know, it's kind of like your modern-day credit score. It's your rep online, and it's really findable. I mean, you guys spent the break Googling yourself if you think, you know, your next eligible date or your next possible employer or the admissions office, if you should ever go back to school, or for young people listening, aren't going to Google you, think again, because they are. And what can come up, you know, can cost you. What happens is the Internet has such staying power. So it's kind of like the tattoo you got that's not so cool when you're older.
Oh, I have plenty of those. let me tell you about, this will tell you a little bit about me so you'll know what kind of digital dirt you're looking at. I have tattoos all over my body from lost football bets. So on my back I have like Indianapolis and the Green Bay logo. I have Bucko Bruce from the Buccaneers on my buttocks. So I mean there's enough ink dirt on my body that I want to get rid of and expunge. The digital dirt is even more so than that.
How do you even begin to do that, Regina?
No wonder you're hiding out.
Yeah, no, right?
I'm kidding. A couple of things. One, if you know, you can contact companies. First of all, check your friends' sites, right? I mean, if you're underage, for instance, and a friend of yours has got a picture of you with a beer in your hand, you know, that can get you kicked off the lacrosse team. So look around, for starters. Google yourself. See what you see. And if, you know, there's something on a site that you want taken down, go to the site's policy, right? Use their language. It was crafted by lawyers. Write them and say, hey, I think this is defamation of character. Could you please pull this down? Don't just say, hey, you know, this is bumming me out. Don't be casual about it.
Yeah.
There's also a player called ReputationDefender.com. I spoke with the founder of their site. It was kind of interesting. He said, you know, they'll take this on your behalf. So they give you a list of what they turned up. And then if you see something, they say, okay, we got this covered. And, you know, for like $10 a month, they go and they handle that on your behalf and try to literally clean up retroactively the digital dirt. The other thing, and, you know, your station website and the various names you use, that comes up on the top.
Right.
Because you guys are in this business. So, you know, some things you can erase, but you can make them less relevant by controlling what's on the top. You know, get your own website, your own URL. And, you know, that's not that hard to do. Start commenting on blogs. Make sure enough positive stuff's out there that at least the dirt is buried.
So you're going to kind of try to spin it for yourself and make some fake names and go out there and say, hey, this El Jefe character is a great guy. He's a wonderful person, but it's actually you up there putting it on there.
I didn't say fake names.
Oh, okay.
let's say you want enough positive spin out there. If you're running a small business or trying to get something off the ground or trying to get a date, frankly, make sure when they Google you that maybe, you know, your own MySpace page, your own website that you built is there
now,
to see.
Let me tell you about something I do. I create digital dirt for other people.
That's illegal. I don't know if you want to admit to that.
I scuff people's shoes. Quite often, people I went to high school with, I'll create fake MySpaces for them, and then talk to other people from my high school. And the reason I'm doing this, it's not to be mean.
Yes, it is.
It's for me to have a good laugh at the class reunion when everybody hates this kid. That's the only reason.
Having you know covered MySpace extensively, I will tell you that is pretty much a clear cut violation of their policy. You better be careful, dude, because you'll pick on the wrong person someday.
Hey, Regina, I have a question for you. Now, I googled an alias of mine, what I go by, and it comes up from some stuff I've done in the past, stunts, various things where there were actually I was sued for felonies, and I don't know how to get it off, and it's on several things. I googled my name, and first thing it comes up is this. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's out of the first 10, you know, before I go to next, everything is about these felonies.
Tell her about the incident.
Yeah. It was Arkansas. They had a gay pride parade, and it was Arkansas's very first one they ever did, and I thought it'd be a great idea to get some, you know, gay DVDs and go hand them out to everybody there. Apparently it wasn't, so it's kind of against the law, and I got charged with two felonies, but it's almost people think that I'm almost like a even though I did it, you know, not out of you know, I wasn't malicious doing it. It was kind of a joke, but it comes up under my name, Porno for DJs, and it says Flip Satchel sued for felonies of handing out porn. And the worst thing about it is there was a 16-year-old kid that ended up with one of these, so it almost comes out to look like I'm some kind of deviant sex offender. You know, I'm dealing with, you know, gay pornography and minors and felonies.
Are. Speedos.
And Speedo. But you mix all this into one, and it looks bad.
Turns into a felony.
I want to take it off. You know, I don't know how to do it.
I think that is the case. It's so over the top. I'd go to ReputationDefender.com. I think you need to hire them.
So if I go to ReputationDefender.com, let me write that down, ReputationDefender.com.
Right.
So I need to go to them, and to these, you know, it's in newspapers, old television sites.
Newspapers and old television sites is tougher, right? Because they're not going to take that down. So you're a candidate to either give up that
5 years ago.
Your path. Well, you know what? I'm surprised it's top 10 then. But do you still use that name? I wouldn't if I were you.
Yeah, he still goes by the Satchel Patch here in the hideout. So that's almost his fault, right?
Well, or you've got to really, see, since that stuff is old, you should go to GoDaddy.com right now. And pick an, you know, URL, Satchel at, whatever you want to call yourself.
Yeah.
Create some sort of page, link to a MySpace page that's yours, and try to get that below the fold. You said it was before you clicked next. You want it after you clicked next.
That's so true. Hey, by the way, I want to recap for those people. Regina Lewis joining us here in the hideout on 106.7 WJFK, the AOL Consumer Advisor. You know, Regina, this is actually points to. And because, you know, a lot of the preparation that we do for this show, we talk about some of these oddball things. We actually didn't know Flip when he did that, and we goofed on him at that time, so it's kind of funny that he's here. But anytime you make just one mistake, like from now on, just one mistake is always going to be out there in the universe, isn't it?
Well, I mean, look no further than celebrities and TMZ.com, right? I mean, that there was they can't have a single misstep, and they don't even have time to regroup and spin it because, boom, it's out there. So I would say that's true, but, you know, what are you going to do about it other than to play offense and make sure that you're kind of controlling your online destiny a little bit, even down to the email address you use? So domains.aol.com, you can totally have an AOL address for your radio program so that it's not, you know, wildguys@hotmail.com.
One thing that I do, and this is maybe just a hint out there for other people. I've been looking for a roommate for a while to, you know, kind of move out and do that with a new person that I've never met before. So these people email me back, and I go through and I actually run their email address and all these different search engines, MySpace, and all this kind of stuff to find out who they are, what they're all about. Is that creepy, or is that like a common practice just to find out what dirt's out there?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to go live with the person, right? So
yeah.
It's a way of vetting certain people. And I think those are logical checks and balances.
What if I just do it to find out if they're hot?
Yeah, because that's what he does. I mean, you set it up like it was something smart, but you're just looking to see if she was cute or not.
No, well, you know what? Hey, but same thing. But as long as she knows that that's doable, I mean, that's the other real takeaway.
All right.
Is maybe you use a separate email to deal with guys like you until it's a sure thing, and then you give them your real one.
Because I almost feel like it's a public service because, you know, really are, we're four creepy dudes. I mean, you haven't heard from the creepiest one. He's just sitting there. So, like, you want to make sure, like, that you know that this is out there and people can get access to this stuff. It sounds like to me, Satchel Paige, what she's saying is you need to create a website in which, like, it's all about how you're doing positive things. You know, you're doing the Lord's work. You're working with sick children.
And the positive thing shouldn't be a blood test.
Everything that's good that maybe you could do opposed to all this bad stuff from
the
past.
It'd be like pushing all the stuff that's on page one maybe back to page 10.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah. Is that right, Regina?
Yeah, it's like, you know, cleaning the room fast when you stick it all under the bed.
How can I do it with my MySpace? I have maybe I wouldn't want to do that
maybe
either.
You just want to take it down. Hey, any other words, tips of advice, Regina, really quick? I mean, because, you know, we're talking to young guys just about, you know, because you think about what's been put up on YouTube and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, do we really got to be careful about what we're putting on our social networking websites and stuff? Or can we put anything like when Dubs tased himself on his junk area with a taser? Like, is that going to, like, do they need to be conscious of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you guys push the envelope, so you got to know what's going to keep you from getting arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But other people just have to think ahead and control the access. You know, on MySpace, you can say, hey, I want it to be private. I want to approve people being able to look at this, or I want to have it public. Certainly for young people, I think you're hard-pressed to make the case, you know, if you're 16 or under, why you'd need a public page that anyone under the sun can look at. But for you guys, you're...
That annoys me when I can't look at their pages.
Yeah, that is really annoying.
I'm right about now. I'm thinking, thank goodness you can't. No, but for you guys, too, anybody trying to, you know, promote a radio show or keep it going or cultivate an online fan base, yeah, you couldn't want to be more public, which is why I think if it all adds up, a really intuitive email address, getting the smart website up there. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be updated every day. It's really a placeholder. And if you can get other people in the radio industry, for instance, to link to it, you got to have some traffic to move up those Google search terms. But that'd be a winning combination. I mean, just to repeat back, you'd have the good stuff drowning out the bad stuff, and it'd be on top.
Now, do you have any dirt of yourself out there that you had to clean up, or is it...
I've been reasonably lucky. Now, I will tell you that there are comments and things on, you know, shows I've done where people are like, oh, she stinks. Or like, I can't believe that. What a dumb blonde. She said nothing. You can't. You know, that's freedom of speech. But if there was defamation of character or if people had posted my home address or the names and ages of my kids and where they went to school, you bet I'd contact that site in 2 seconds and say, I think this is dangerous, it's jeopardizing my safety, it's personal information, I want it down.
Oh, wow, you're a cutie.
Yeah, wow, we just all went and Googled Regina Lewis and bam, look at that. Wow, that's awesome. You get a lot of people that send you creepy emails and stuff?
I have some fans in prison, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, so do we. That makes us peers.
Yeah, we have something in common now.
Yeah, we're all in Northern Virginia. Why not? Let's all hang out.
There you go.
What's your address?
I could use a Saturday night hideout.
Exactly. Hey, Regina, good stuff. Thanks for coming in and helping, really helping the Satchel Patch. Because when I saw this, he was like, he genuinely, like before, he was like, I got to get rid of all this stuff that is about me handing out gay porn and Speedo at a parade in Arkansas to children. And it's like at the very least we can start. Regina, let me ask you this. I know you're with AOL and you're the consumer advisor. Is all this really the fault of the Internet, though? Like, can we blame all this on the Internet?
The devil net.
Because beforehand, like, it would have been in just his local stupid Arkansas paper where they misspell things, but now it's available everywhere.
Well, before then, it would have been in the paper, but then someone would have to, you know, go to Arkansas and dig it up or go watch it on, you know, film at the library if they had saved it. I think it's the staying power of the Internet. Now, on the one hand, you could say, sorry, I'm really glad I found that out of that satchel. On the other hand, you know, Satchel's going to have to reinvent himself online and hope that he can minimize that by people saying, hey, you know, that was 5 years ago, then it was 6 years ago. That time frame, and as long as you don't, you know, draw attention, divert the traffic, and it'll become less and less relevant.
And here's something I've been saying for a long time, and only time will tell if this is true. I hope it happens in my lifetime. Because people are so naive on the net right now, and, you know, you aren't protected no matter who you are. I guarantee we're going to have a presidential candidate who is going to have Dugin pictures out there.
Of his manhood?
Yeah, some junk pictures floating around online that he sent to some chick on Yahoo Chat or AOL Chat.
The kids now, they just don't get it. They don't understand that stuff could be out there.
Yeah, I've done it.
It just takes one person to save it, and then you're ruined. You know what I mean?
Man. Oh, yeah, with young people, it's brutal that way, and people can pretend to be other people, and there's a term for it, cyberbullying. The penalties have to be high, and, you know, I think when I talk to young people, the biggest deterrent is when I say, hey, you know, you could get caught, right? I mean, you can, because it's very traceable. So, you know, bottom line, if you really cross the line, they'll find you. They know exactly how to.
Cyberbullying, it sounds kind of corny, but there was an instance where some mother did a MySpace page about some girl, and the little girl ended up killing herself.
Yeah.
Now, that's maybe stepping over the line a little bit.
Yeah, a girl shouldn't have killed herself.
But that's her being weak-minded. I mean, it's bullying like we all grew up getting bullied, but now if you have to put a term like cyberbully, it just all kind of sounds kind of corny to me.
Yeah, but let me play devil's advocate here, and I think Regina will agree with me because I think we're hitting it off a lot, and I'm going to get her number later. I think the problem is the fact that, you know, when you got bullied at school, you could just, like, if you left school, you left the bully.
Yeah, but you left with a black eye.
But regardless, like, you could still go home and you could bury yourself in a book and cry and, you know, whatever. But now, if it's cyberbullying, it never leaves you. Like, you're always 24/7 getting bullied.
It doesn't matter. Even if the internet wasn't around right now, Sam Mehar would still be stinky ass to me. So the bullying doesn't stop. Even if there is no web involved.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be that every time he Googled his name. Would you agree with me, Regina, or not?
Well, we were hitting it off till I found out you cry. But after after that, I would say that, yeah, it has staying power, and then the kids become absolutely devastated by it. Plus, the interesting thing is a lot of times, you know, I covered this for The View and other shows that are very mom-oriented. And when you say cyberbullying, all the kids, you know, all the moms kind of think, well, that's not my kid. But it tends to be the kids who would never, for lack of a better word, have the guts to do it in person. It's the skinny kid, right? It's the Doogie Howser. And they're tech-savvy and that, you know, Jenny pretends to be Susie and posts something that's not really from Susie, saying, I want to take Jesse to the prom so that Jesse thinks that's uncool.
Mm.
And that's it. You know, like,
funny.
Like the same stuff we used to do. But you're right. I mean, when something gets out there that's slanderous, and, you know, and it's simple stuff. For girls, it's stuff like, you know, an IM exchange that said, I think her jeans didn't fit very well. And for guys, it tends to be, you know, so catty gets cattier, I think mean girls. And for guys, it tends to be pretty aggressive. Like, you know, if you missed the goal this weekend, I wouldn't show up in the locker room.
Let me ask you if I could get in trouble for this one, and I'm just going to say it hypothetically.
Let me reset what we're doing. It's the Hideout 106.7 WJFK. Speaking of Regina Lewis, AOL Consumer Advisor, you got to go check out our website. Very hot. ReginaLewis.com. We'll be talking about her plans after the show in a second.
Mm-hmm. Now, more than one time, I went online with the name of a woman, and I would talk to guys, and I would have them meet me out of the bar. And me and my buddies just stand across the street, sit in our car.
Oh, you gotta stop. I can't even listen to this. Are you kidding, man?
Hey, how many felonies is he committing?
None. Cause
you cyberbully.
Yeah, we didn't do anything. We just would sit there and laugh while you're
so wrong. So
no,
wrong.
With all due respect, yeah, that's about as wrong as you can get.
I agree.
After that one.
I completely agree with you, Virginia. Hey, you're in Northern Virginia. Where are you going to hang out tonight?
Thursdays? You there?
Regina gone?
What's that?
She didn't like that question.
I guess she's gone. Oh, she had to hang up on us.
You're too much of a cyberbully for her. You offended her, and then you had to go on and then find out what pub watering hole she was going to be at later on, and she said that's it.
All right, well, thank her anyway for coming on the show, Regina. Yeah, I just wanted to find out where she was going to be. I know she's in Northern Virginia where we broadcast.
Actually, she had some useful information. We had to get these... It sounds a lot worse the way y'all say it. See, this wasn't that big of a deal, but when y'all describe it, speedo, gay porn, and kids, you know, it doesn't
seem that bad to you.
But that's not the way we describe it. That's the way the news describes it.
And we're just relaying that.
We just happen to be talking about it.
I got to get that off.
You do, man, because that's... Did you already Google yourself? What did you Google?
Flip Satchel. P-H-L-I-P. Satchel. Flip, P-H-L-I-P. Satchel, S-A-T-C-H-E-L. Just Google that, and boom. First thing, porno for DJs.
S what?
A-T-C-H-E-L.
Flip Satchel. Let me see what comes up.
Read the headlines.
Oh, man. Look at
Regina,
this.
You there?
I am. Sorry, hi.
Did you hang up on us? Were you offended?
No. Okay. Honestly, my iPhone crashed.
I hear that happens a lot.
Yeah, we were about to let you go. I just wanted to know, since you were in Northern Virginia, where you were hanging out tonight. That was really
it. That's all right. Fox News Channel all morning, so I'm in the New York area.
Gotcha. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming into the hideout. Like, we were just talking, Flip is, like, eternally grateful, because he really wanted to get rid of this digital dirt, and he was really down for doing that, so we appreciate you coming in and helping him out.
It's awesome. You got it.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. There she goes.
Okay, see you guys.
This is Regina Lewis. You got to check out her website.
Yeah. She's good looking.
She is good looking. All right, here's what comes up for
the
satchel.
Just a little bit big, but whatever.
Hey, man, that's sometimes kind of hot.
Yeah.
Here's what comes up on the satchel patch, all right? First one, porno for DJs. Second one, porno for DJs. Third one.
Passion of the producer.
The Passion of Stanley, which I guess was the Passion of the producer.
Where he walked around wearing a cross.
That is made up. A 6 foot by, I think it was, maybe a 7 foot by 5 foot. Cross out of 1x6s and carried it about 8 miles across town.
How was that?
That's amazing.
Tough.
That was 5 years ago, and you're still number one when that pops up.
Yeah, I don't know how to. She gave me something like create a website. I really don't know how to do that either.
What you got
to
do is just create something that's going to get more hits than those with your flip.
So it's on by it's on hits. That's how it's rated by hits.
Yeah, Google's rated by hits.
Well, I'm more of the reputationdefender.com. Go to those people, say this is defamation of character. It says felonies up there. It was misdemeanors. but the thing is like whenever, you know, one of the biggest things for me whenever the case went through is that it would be expunged off my record.
Yeah.
Just so it wouldn't come up.
That's your legal record.
Yeah. That's
but
my legal
not the
record.
News though.
Exactly. So like if I'm going to get a job or something, they run a background check, it doesn't come up.
Well, if they, all you gotta hear is Google? Google now.
Boom.
That's crazy, man.
I should have it expunged off my Google.
Well, that's what you're gonna try to do. That's why we're trying to help a brother out.
ReputationDefender.com.
Alright, let's take a break and come back. You wanna come back and play the game? We got some prizes to give out from the Hideout Prize Closet?
Yeah, if people wanna call in, 800-636-1067, we're going to be doing Hideout or Hogwash. We're gonna give you a situation. You have to decide if it happened to one of the Hideout members in here, either myself, Hefe, Flip Satchel, or the Kid McLovin, and then we will tell you if that was real, fake, Hideout, or Hogwash. And the first one we gave away, a half hour ago?
Yeah, if you want me to, I'll go over it again. This is the one you can call up and guess on now. Hideout or Hogwash. Did a Hideout member once become a suspect in a felony investigation involving a city worker, an orange, a tractor, and a school bus? Hideout or hogwash? We'll take a break. We'll take a break and come in. That seems like a gimme to me if you want. The question is, who is it? 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. We got some sort of prizes for you. I don't know what exactly, but CK says we always have stuff if we want to play a game. So you're going to get something out of the Hideout prize closet. On the other side of this message is, again, 800-636-1067 if you want to get in. It is Saturday night. It is Hefe and Dubs, and we are in the Hideout on 106.7 WJFK.
The Hideout.
The Hideout with El Hefe and J-Dubs.
It's bad radio.
The Hideout.
The Hideout with El Hefe and J-Dubs.
Just two men sharing the night. It might seem wrong, but it's just right. It's just two men sharing each other. It's just two men like loving brothers. One is screaming, he's so happy. The other screaming, a passionate shout. It's the night, man. The feeling's so wrong and right, man.
Learn more at hideoutradio.com.
The Hideout.
Saturday night in the Hideout, Hefe and Dubs, 106.7 WJFK.
We were going to do Hideout or Hogwash right now, but there's an issue back at the studio. The screener's not there right now, and we will do Hideout or Hogwash next segment. So keep by your phone, and we'll make sure we get you on next segment to play Hideout or Hogwash.
Yeah, hang tight. We'll get you in. Yeah, just hang tight. We'll do it in like 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Just to get you surprises. Still find out what Hideout member... If one did a Hideout member become a suspect in a felony investigation involving a city worker, an orange, a tractor, or a school bus? Is that Hideout or Hogwash? We'll find that out in about 20.
If it's Hogwash just because someone had a banana instead of the orange, then
no,
I'd be upset.
No, it's not gonna
then
be...
I'd be upset.
Oh, you have to just guess whether or not it's Hideout or Hogwash, but I'd like once you do Hideout if you guess somebody, too.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to get that right, but that'll be kind of fun. We'll have to wait a segment for that. It is 106.7 WJFK on a Saturday night. I really was going to be bummed if I didn't get to hang out with you guys. I've been waiting all week to hang out.
Yeah,
back with the show.
Well, you found out like an hour before the show you had to head out. And you were genuinely upset about it.
Yeah, I was livid. I was genuinely livid because some people around this building have let me down one too many times. And I'm going to make some heads roll.
The kid?
Yeah, the kid is one of them. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, definitely.
all right. So we were going to do the game here, but instead, a couple weeks ago, the Satchel Patch said, listen, I want to bring something new to the table, to the Hideout. I think it's something that's really in the demographic. You know, we're looking for 18 to 44-year-old men.
Men's men, too.
Those are guys that hang out in the Hideout on a Saturday night before they go out and really cause some ruckus around the town.
And Flip told me, he's like, you know what men like? They like guns. They like girls. They like big trucks.
And they like poetry.
Yes.
So we, 2 weeks ago, started a segment, much to my chagrin, called... It wouldn't have anything, but...
Well, it was called This Week in Poetry. That's what we started off with because, you know, we basically take something from the previous week and we make a little poem about it.
Right.
And, you know, I think we were going over dumb poetry jam, daft poetry jam.
But it's really to get in touch with our inner feelings and our inner poet, because there is a poet within all of us.
Oh, of course.
All right, who wants to go first sharing their poetry?
I can do it first.
You can do. All right, let's do Dubs's first then.
All right,
here's Dubs's poetry.
Oh, hold on.
This one's called New Roommate. I found a roommate with hair so sweet. I didn't pick it because she lived close to work. I didn't. Hold on.
Deuce trill.
Oof.
All right, hold on a second. Can we dump the last 2 minutes?
Yes,
start over?
Please.
All right, here we go.
Double dump.
Here we go.
New roommate. I found a new roommate with hair so sweet. I didn't pick it because it was close to work. Me thinking of her while I bring a batch was the perk. I'm moving in a week.
You're awful.
I'm moving in a week, and rummaging through her underwear drawer is what I will seek.
All right, that was awful.
No, it wasn't that bad.
No, yeah. It was. All right,
So it may be a little harder for some of us to get in touch with that inner poet,
yeah.
But I like the effort and where he's going with it.
All right, explain it in English.
Okay. I basically got a new roommate.
I'm moving
in.
Yes! Dubs has been living with me for the last 18 months, and he is out of here. Goodbye, so long, good riddance, beat it. Scram.
I feel bad, too. I'm going to miss you as well.
So long. Now, you found a roommate. It's a chick.
Chick.
Is she hot?
Very cute.
Very cute. Works at a bar.
Yeah, manager of a bar, so.
A bar where they allow dogs, which is really cool. And she,
what?
Yeah.
A bar that allows dogs?
Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
Stay the hell away from that place.
Why?
I love it.
Awesome. I've taken my dog up there like 3 times in the last week.
Buying your dog a drink, I understand pouring a little beer on the floor, let the dog lap it up and get it a buzz, but take it to a bar, buying a drink, get yourself a woman. Why would you want to take a dog to the bar?
Because it's fun. I like to be with my dog.
Good.
So you, J-Dubs, have also two now. She made you an offer today, correct?
Well, yeah, I went over and hung out with her for a little bit at the bar today, and she asked me, she's like, are you involved? Are you single? What's your deal? And I said, I'm single. So she's going to go around, and she has a few chicks she's going to hook me up with, and I'll be able to do kind of a redneck bachelor type thing where I'm, you know, sitting there handing draft beer to the one I like.
I'll tell you this, as a guy who Pat's Blue Ribbon, as a guy, Natty Light, as a guy who really has lived with you for the last 18 months, house. I'm very excited about the fact that you're going to be able to go out there and spread your wings with some bush beer. All right? I'm really stoked about the fact that you're out of my house. You're taking that mangy dog with you.
My dog is not mangy.
You're going to grow up. You're living with a girl, a hot girl that runs a bar who may have some hot chicks. Now, I haven't met this girl yet.
Cheap bar tabs.
Yeah, but whatever. Like, it's a great situation for you.
I think
get out now.
Got 10 days. Wrong. Can't move until then.
All right. Well, that's very cool. Dubs is growing up. Who wants to do their poem?
I'll go.
All right.
Now, last week I was on vacation. I was back in Arkansas, and so this is a little experience. A little excerpt of what happened there.
All right. Here we go.
Anne Frank had it easy. She never dealt with sex Nazis. Harry, Sherry, and Mr. Larry with their morals. Two adult satchels hating desperate times call for desperate measures. Hank Williams Jr. was right. Country boy can survive. P-Row trip was the solution. Now, if you don't know what a P-Row, that's a small canoe. P-Row trip was the solution. Island full of goats was the destination. Wooded wilderness provided little comfort. Finding the right place while avoiding bearded billies took considerable effort. Just grab that small tree and bend over. I took notes from my old dog Rover. Nonetheless, our mission was accomplished. To get rid of the residue, we swam with the fish. Explaining to the sex Nazis how to pet goats drew little criticism. My grandmother's car would be the next victim.
Jeez. All right, it's the Hideout 106.7 WJFK, the week in poetry. All right, so you went home to Arkansas. Your chick went with you.
Yes, I took my girl back with me.
Is this her meeting the family for the first time?
And not the family, the family reunion.
How did Arkansas take to a Cuban chick?
They all liked her. They'd never seen the likes of her before.
Wow, it's like an alien.
And so we go on this family reunion on a lake and camp pretty much for a week with, there was, at the fish pile on Friday, we had 54 satchels there. So what we do, we fish, you know, we have little competitions and games. We live off the land, fish, have a big fish pile on Friday and stuff like that. It's a good time.
How many crosses y'all burn?
Not many. Okay. Two. No, it's not that type of deal. We have prayer service. You know, it's something for the kids. It's real family, wholesome environment. And my parents are real old school. And they're, you know, we had to sleep in separate beds, even though we were in a camper. You know, she had to sleep on the kitchen table. I had to sleep on the couch. You know, it breaks down into like a little bed type thing. And, you know, I would try to sneak over in her bed, whatever, my parents, both of them. You know, they even hired like little, we called them the sex Nazis. They wouldn't let us touch. And it was driving us crazy. So there's this island.
Do they know about you and your past?
Yes. But it doesn't, you know, I don't understand it, but it's their way. It's their
place.
Were
they just jealous?
It could be. My dad probably was. But we had to, you know, there's this island called Goat Island because it has goats on it. And
We got in a P-row and paddled probably half a mile against the current. It's still a lake, but it has a current running through it. Went to the back side of this island, and she was like, you know, bring a life jacket or a blanket or something. I said, look at this. You know, we're in the middle of the woods in the wilderness. It's not going to help. Grab that. Just grab that tree.
All right. I see what you're saying.
You know, but then there were goats. Like, when I say there's goats, they were within 15 foot. Probably 10 goats.
Were they just staring at you?
Staring. Doing nothing. Because, can you do it?
Grass?
Yeah, no, it's the wilderness. There's no really grass there. It's a wooded area. Huh. But apparently somebody feeds these things, so it's not afraid of humans, so it'll come up to you. And so we're sitting there. She's scared as all get out, and there's goats around, and I'm trying to do the business. It was quite a distraction, to say the least. But, you know, everything worked out well. Got back in the canoe. The parents were kind of like, you know, what are y'all doing over there? Why do you go there to pet the goats?
Can you imagine this poor Cuban girl swimming over from Cuba,
it was her idea,
making it to the United States? Then all of a sudden, she's bent over in Arkansas with a bunch of goats.
Holding on to a tree.
Just how far? Like, is this the American dream?
It is.
We got on a raft from Cuba for this?
That's the way we do it back home, old boy.
Oh, boy. Well, that's all right. You got more stories later on from the
home? Oh, yeah.
We'll get into those eventually.
That's how you control your woman.
Yeah, obviously.
That's control. Grab that tree and bend over.
Uh-huh. All right, so Hideout, Hefe and Dubs, 106.7 WJFK. This one is mine. I've decided I'm going to step up to the podium, and I'm going to do, I call this one, The Cure. I've been fat all my life, and I usually get fatter when I find a new potential wife. But not this time, declares El Hefty. Soon, I'll be gorgeous and nifty. How will I do it this go-round? With speed, of course, you silly clown. I'll be aided with pills and a vitamin shot prick so that hopefully in 3 months I'll finally be able to see my...
Okay, I know where you're going.
There it is. So, anyone who's listened to The Hideout for any extended period of time...
You're fat.
...knows that I'm fat and I fluctuate. I'm the male Oprah.
Yeah, it's odd. When I first met El Hefe, he was near, not... quite, but near 300, probably right. 290.
Right.
Then you dropped down when we moved to D.C.
I was probably floating in the
220s.
Yeah, probably the 220s pretty consistently. But it goes back further than that.
You look like Sonic the Hedgehog's enemy with the glasses and the pregnant belly. A hedgehog.
You know, as a kid, I was fat. Then I lost the weight in middle school and in high school. Then when I got engaged the first go round,
can I interject one? You've told me, and I don't think you've told us on the air yet, of how far it even goes back further than that to when you're a baby laying in your crib.
Yeah. See, what happened is I know I'm an emotional eater. Like whenever I'm happy or sad, I eat. Mm. You know, I'm an emotional eater. When I'm with my mom and my aunt not too long ago, they were telling stories about the childhood, and I found out why I'm an emotional eater. My mom had me when she was at Texas Tech University, so when I was a baby, she was like a sophomore, junior in college. So what they used to do, because I would cry, they would just line my bottles, line my crib with bottles. So I'm in my crib, and I'm crying. I reach over, I grab a bottle, I drink it.
You stop crying.
I stop crying, I throw it. I'm there, I'm content for a little while. Then all of a sudden, I get bummed out again. As a baby, I reach over,
I grab a bottle.
I drink it, and then I throw it. So that's the root of my emotional, eating.
You haven't really changed. It's not bottles anymore. It's, full steaks.
It's everything.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Rack of ribs.
The first time I got engaged and got married, that's when I got up near 290. I finally lost a lot of the weight. Then I met my new chick, and that's when I started getting fat again. Well, I'm tired of being fat. Lucky enough, at the station that I work at during the week, they've got a new sponsor. And it's like this medical thing.
Yeah.
Where they have put me on this plan. It's like this diet plan. 500 calories a day.
Ugh.
Aided by an appetite suppressant.
Is that a bowl of Frosted Flakes?
Probably. You know, I've had 2 eggs and 3 ounces of turkey. And that's it. But it's
actually more than I've had.
It spurred me on, like my app, because I have this appetite. Mm-hmm. I'm using this thing where I think it's essentially an amphetamine, and that's the appetite suppressant.
I can get you something better than that.
It's an amphetamine. Well, that's what I'm saying, man.
like, as soon as I take it, like, my teeth start hurting.
Yeah.
Like, I can feel, but it's not bad. Like, I know, like, already in the first, I don't know, 24 to 36 hours, I guarantee that I've probably lost already, like, 3 or 4 pounds.
Yeah, you're going to lose a lot of water weight right up front.
I got on the scale 240 pounds. That's the heaviest I've been since
a long time.
240 pounds, they have this thing where they can weigh everything. I got 90 pounds of fat.
Oof.
Like, it shows me I got 90 pounds of fat.
So you can be 150 pounds if you want to.
Well, they say you got to have about 35 pounds. So I need to get down to 185. Flip, how much do you weigh?
165.
Wow. So more than half of me is fat. You know what, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, more than it's related to him.
And how tall are you?
6'1". I'm a skinny dude. Real skinny, tall. I've never been fat. You know, I've tried to gain weight. I can't do it.
I was very fat.
I've seen some pictures of you fat.
It
blew my mind. But I've never been able to put on weight whatsoever. And actually, I might be up to about 170.
I'm right around
where I want to be.
I'm shorter than I thought I was, and I'm fatter than I thought I was.
Now, the kid McLovin over there, he's deceptively fat. He's a little, he's not fat.
Deceptively fat?
Yeah, like you don't look fat, but then you do at times.
You have man boobs.
No.
Put it on the glass.
Put them on the glass. But at times, it depends on the angle you look at you. You look like you're a little chubby.
I don't think so. Why are you analyzing him so much?
No, I'm with Dubs on this. I've seen it. He usually comes in wearing his nice khaki pants and his polo shirt. He's walking around in a t-shirt. Now I'm seeing some chunk.
Yeah. Leave the kid alone. No, I would kill to be fat like that if that's fat. How tall are you?
6 feet.
How much do you weigh?
170.
I would kill for that. I'm 5'6 and a half, 240. Did you hear me? I'm like a barrel of lard. It's craziness. But not anymore, man. I'm on these amphetamines. I'm not eating anything. I feel great. And I'm on coffee, too. It feels good. It feels really good. All right, let's go to the kid McLovin. I know he has a poem. You ready, kid?
Ready when you are.
All right, here we go. It is the Week in Review poetry style.
I went to the Rays game a week ago tonight. I met these two girls, so they were all right. I finally got the nerve to ask one for her number. It was not smooth. It was quite a blunder. I made a mistake and called the next day. The result was not what would make my day.
That's it.
That's all I got.
Not that bad. All right, but here's the thing, though. Let's analyze that for a moment. This is the 26-year-old virgin kid who ditched the Hideout last week to go to a baseball game and meet chicks.
Just tell us about it.
Yeah, tell us. Set it up. What happened?
Well, I don't want to get into too many of the details because there's a potential bit there I met her.
We need to know, like, just tell me what you can because I got to know what's going on here.
I just went up and talked to her and...
Was she in the stands?
Well, we saw her walk around the hallway.
Now, were you, representing the station while you were there?
I wasn't representing this station, no.
Yeah, but you were representing
a radio station. Yeah, you went up to her as a radio guy.
Yeah, because you were getting audio for the Florida station, Miami station.
The Miami station.
So you just saw a chick walking in the concourse, and you went up and approached her?
Yep.
That's counter to anything.
Was anybody with you?
Yes.
All right.
That's counter to anything and everything you've ever been, though.
Right.
So how did it feel?
What gave you the cojones to go walk up to her?
I just did it.
Was it painful?
Not really.
Did you know her at all?
No, I'd never laid eyes on this girl before a day in my life.
And so you walk up to her, and what do you, tell me, like, I'm the chick, because I'm getting skinny already, so I'm this hot chick.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bit was, and it's a bit that we were putting together to air kind of on one of the weekend shows that I do, that I was with a coworker.
Okay.
The bit was dating tips for shy guys.
Ah, okay.
So we approached her and her friend.
You're not shy, are you?
Thanks for paying attention. But we approached her and her friend and did the whole bit and said, what advice would you give? And we just started talking. She talked about how she all talky and all this stuff. And later on, we saw them again, and I asked her for her number.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Did you just go up and ask and say, like, hey?
I got a little sound clip, too.
Oh, look at him coming prepared with some audio. All right, let me hear what you got.
Yes, okay.
You're listening to The Hideout on WJFK, and we love the kid. Woo!
I could tell they weren't coached at all. That's not that uncomfortable.
Were they drunk? The cuff.
Yeah. Were they drunk?
They didn't appear drunk, no.
How old they look?
Well, They were drinking, but they did not appear drunk, so they had to be at least over 21.
What did they look like? Tell me what they look like.
The one who I got her number, dark hair, kind of short, really pretty.
What was her name?
I'm not going
to
say that.
Is she listening to the radio in Washington, D.C.?
She might. She knows that I'm on the show.
All right, so she might be. All right, so you called her?
I did call her and I left a message.
When did you call her?
Sunday.
The next day?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. What were you thinking?
We have some training for you, man.
Yeah.
So you immediately, what do you, all right, I want to pretend.
Was it like 7 a.m. right when you woke up?
It was like late afternoon.
Okay, and what did you think about all day?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask him. Were you just sitting there? How many times did you dial the number throughout the day and not hit send?
I didn't do that at all, actually. It was just kind of.
That's kind of not the way I heard it. I heard there was an alternate version.
How did you,
What was the alternate version?
I have a little poem, if you allow me.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right, so you got an alternate poem to his poem. All right. This is the Satchel Patch as the kid in the alternate poem.
Should I call again or shouldn't I? Will she call back or won't she? Does she like me or was she drunk? Does she think I'm cool or does she think I'm bunk? She was so pretty. I know she liked me. I wondered one day if she would have my baby. Should I make call number 3? Answer the phone, baby, please. I love her so much. She's the girl for me. When I hear her voicemail, it brings me glee. If she would just call back, our love could bloom like a flower. I've been sitting by the phone going on 5 hours. If she picks up, will she think I'm a bore? Voicemail again. That makes call number 4. Should I take her dancing or down to the pub? Would she like the way I cut rug? If she would just talk to me and answer the phone, I can invite her over and show her my parents' home. If we went out, I know we would have a blast. Oh no, 2 more hours have passed. Her phone has been dead. She wouldn't hit ignore. If I found out she was, I would slam her head in the door. Stupid bitch, answer your phone. I've called you over 15 times on your cell phone and your home. My love, my darling, you were supposed to be my first. I felt the connection in my heart and wanted to burst. You better answer, broad, or I'll get pissed. I hope the guys at the hideout don't get wind of this. Oh, no, the hideout in my bit. When they hear about this, they'll surely trip. I know what I'll do. I'll just lie. Even though I think part of me just died. I'll play it cool. Nobody will know I'm such a fool.
Is that how it really happened? Has she called you back?
No, she has not.
How many times did you really call? 15, 16? No, how many hours did you sit by the phone?
Just one.
I don't believe it.
Do you have her number?
I sure do.
Can we call her?
No, you may not.
Come on.
No.
Just off the air and see if you're, you know, do you remember the kid McLovin?
So she hasn't called you back yet, though?
No, she has not.
Okay.
Have you called again?
No, I have not.
You got to call at least one more time now.
Right now.
No.
Hey, just stand over there. You don't have to.
Away from the mic.
Get away from the mic. Stand back there so we can see. Just call. If it just goes to voicemail, then.
Leave a message.
Just say, hey, you know, it's the kid McLovin. You know, it's been a week. You know, just calling to see if you wanted to hang out.
Let's get him prepared for it, and we'll break right now. Because we're running real late.
Think about it. We'll take a break and come back. It's the Hideout. FN Dubs, and then we also got to play the game too. Yep. 106.7 WJFK.
Prostitutes, pimps, gamblers.
It's time for the Hideout Minutes with the Kid McLovin.
In this hour of the Hideout, we learned about cleaning your digital dirt. We had Poetry Hour, where we talked about Satchel's trip home. Dub's poem was lame. We talked about Hefe's weight loss, and we talked about the kid asking a girl for her number. Now you are up to date on the Hideout.
Hideout with El Jefe and J Dubs.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We sit in a house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone.
The Hideout.
got a whole bunch of stuff to do.
Show's
flying by. It is the Hideout, Hefe and Dubs, 106.7 WJFK.
All right, we're going to push it back again, but it will happen. Get by your phones. 800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We will play Hideout or Hogwash, and it will be fun.
My chick is in the Pal Talk room.
Yeah?
Apparently on the Pal Talk room, she goes, I give it a month before he's living with us again. Talking about you and moving out. You're going to do something. You're going to do something with that chick. I'm thinking a felony. And you're going to have to move back in, and that's going to suck.
Why is your girl in the chat room and not out LARPing?
I know, right? She's moving up in the world of coolness.
Oh, and also, for anybody who wants to know, the Sonic the Hedgehog character that Flip Satchel was referring to that El Jefe looks like, Dr. Willie.
Shut up. That's why I'm losing weight, man. It's not cool. I'm on amphetamines and I've had 260 calories today. Normally, I have 260 calories on a walk to the bathroom.
My toothpaste has that many calories.
Yeah, I'll go and I'll grab some candy out here that we keep a candy dish, and I'll walk to the bathroom. I'll pop a few Snickers. That's it. And now that's all I'm living on. And, man, I'm mile high on life. All right, before the break, This is the reason why we're kind of pushing back the game show a little bit. The kid McLovin dropped a bombshell on the show. That he actually approached a chick. Now, you gotta understand this. Here in the Hideout, we're all different kinds of dudes. I'm the kind of the normal guy. I got a fiance. You know what I mean? Yeah, I battle some weight issues, but whatever. I'm the responsible one, essentially, you could say. Then I got two nincompoops with me in J-Dubs and the Satchel Patch who are always getting in all sorts of trouble.
I think we're actually the more normal type.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And then we have the kid McLovin, who's the 26-year-old virgin. We call him the kid because he looks like he's 15. We call him McLovin because he looks like McLovin from Superbad. Have you seen that yet?
I've seen enough clips on YouTube to know.
So you know that that's
right.
Really, that is you.
Yes,
you
are McLovin. Really is. I'm not arguing that.
Perfect. All right. So we've been trying to help build his confidence over the last month or so to help him meet bitches.
Yeah. Businesses.
Last week, while I'm sitting here struggling to do a show with Dubs, who was just awful, he's ditching me to go out to a baseball game because, you know, he's doing some stringer work for the Florida Marlins. You know, because we broadcast from Tampa Bay, but that's neither here nor there. Our heart's in D.C. He's out there, and he just meets some chicks. And he goes up, and he starts talking to them in a whole situation, okay? So he actually asks for a phone number.
Wow.
And the girl gives it to you. I can't believe the girl gave it to you.
I don't think it's real.
So you called her the next day, which is huge mistake
number one.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Did you know that was a mistake when you were doing it? Have you heard of that where you don't call next day?
I have this past week.
I don't think it's a mistake.
But
I've heard that being aggressive is good too. So I've heard both sides.
Well, physically aggressive.
No, but see that you can't play it. But you got to at least wait 24 hours. At least wait 24 hours before you call. You know, because then you look really desperate.
Or if you don't, say, I know I'm supposed to wait 24 hours. You know, talk about it up front. I know I'm supposed to wait this time, but wow, I really got
to
call you.
Yeah, use it to your advantage.
So I just talked to the kid during the break, and I'm like, do you want to call her? You know, do you want to call her? And I'm going to, I'm gonna pull back the curtain a little bit.
Mm.
You know, Dubs is like, if you want to fake it, you can. It's no big deal.
I didn't say that. Flip did.
But he goes, and this is what's great about radio, because the persona of, you know, being different, he goes, I really do, I kind of want to call it, like, this kind of gives me the excuse to call this chick again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, so I told him, and that's a great step. You know, Dubs is trying to give you a cop-out. Dubs, who fakes everything and makes up every story he's ever done.
No.
I, on the other hand, am proud of you that you actually want to bring something to the table. So he goes, how should I do it? I go, here's what you do. You say, hey, I'm on the radio right now in Washington, D.C., where George W. Bush is listening to the Hideout. And we were talking about, you know, my trials and tribulations. And I just realized, you know, they hadn't called me back yet. So I wanted to do a little follow-up, see how you're doing, you know, see if you were busy, you know, see if you wanted to get together or something. You know, let me know. I think that's just what you say. And he's like, and then he goes, oh man, what if she answers? I go, that's even better. Then that's even more awkward. Now we won't hear her side of the conversation, obviously, but do you feel like this is kind of the scenario? Because right now, here's what's great. You got your buddies around you cheering you on. You know what I mean?
I just
twink, 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 twink.
I just don't want to come across as a crazy stalker.
You're not going
to
do that.
No, that's too late. I mean, yeah. Regardless, to chicks, that's the way all guys are. And to every girl, a guy is a stalker.
That's what girls like.
It's true.
Because
we are.
Because it's a situation. Man, my now fiance, I was stalking the hell out of her when we very first met.
I don't know how many times I just, you know, stayed parked outside of some girl's house.
I hid in a girl's couch one time.
Yeah.
Last week.
We heard about it. We heard about it in the first segment. So you're always going to be the stalker, but it's the difference. You know what I mean? She may play a thing of, well, we'll see if he calls back. You know? Sometimes girls will play games. So now it's up to you to decipher whether or not she's a game player. Because otherwise...
And that's something that would turn me off instantly.
And you don't want whatever. It's a girl. How could... Is it the girl that's turning you off?
No. It's the game playing that turns me off.
Oh, don't worry about that. That's what you want to do. That's how you got to get used to what women do, and women play games. You either control the woman or you play their games. And you don't look like you're in the mood to be controlling women, so you play their game. And that's how... You got to start off that way.
I think every guy starts off just playing the game.
You do.
All right, so...
Are you nervous?
What's the best angle? Is it the best angle for him to be, hey, I'm on the radio...
Yeah, why
not? ...in the most powerful city in the world? Screw New York. D.C.'s where it all happens.
I think you should just go out there, be honest, and just see where that takes you.
Like, listen...
I was telling my friends about the number that I got and everything, and how I thought you were really cool...
I just want to hang out again. You know, I just want to see if you want to hang out. Does she have your number?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, I called.
Okay, so she could call you back. It doesn't come up unrestricted or anything?
Not that
or,
I know of.
Like pervert or nothing? Okay, all right, cool.
Just in her phone.
All right, here we go. It's the Hideout, 106.7 WJK. You want to take your headphones off if it makes it easier?
Yeah.
And then just dial and just step away from them. Take the headphones off and step away from the mic and let me see if we can hear you. Just start talking.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. So if you want to call her.
Wow.
This is awesome.
This is good.
This is good because we're pulling for the kid.
This is necessary steps that he has to take.
Are you ready to leave her a message? Put your headphones back on.
Are you ready to leave her a message?
Sure.
Do you know what you're going to say pretty much?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, hey, it's she doesn't know me as the kid. Well, she sort of does, but...
Yeah, say, hey, I'm the guy, it's the kid, I'm the one that had you cut that audio at the game last week.
So, yo, baby, what's happening? This is the kid.
Get down on it, bitch! Get down on it!
What's Knock up? This down!
What's
and,
up, girl?
I'm calling live on the air.
Yeah,
or
no,
I'm calling
what you won't do.
Show right now. We're on in Washington, D.C., and I'm sitting here with the rest of the show, and they wanted me to call you while I was on the air.
So, yo, Trick, I was giving you a shout-out. What you want to do?
All right. Let's practice. I feel like we got
to
practice.
Yeah, he does need to warm up.
All right, let's do it.
Don't write it down, because then you'll start stumbling.
Yeah, don't.
I didn't write anything down.
Don't bullet point it.
We know you like to take notes.
You know what? Let's do this. Pick up that phone back there and call the 800 number so we can hear what it sounds like on the phone.
And I guess...
Our 800 number?
Yeah. So it's 8... No. Yeah, so call 800. Dial 1-800. 1-800.
For a good time.
636-1067.
And I guess there's girls calling in over at WJFK right now. They don't want to go on the air, but they are all saying it was a bad idea for him to call next day.
Really?
Hey, yeah, it's the kid calling from Tampa.
All right, can we go ahead and tell him to...
Hey, I think they want to put me on the air.
Yeah, go ahead and punch him through.
I think you're
and
all
And then turn
there.
Your mic off when we punch you through. Are you there? Is he punched through? You there, kid?
Hello?
Perfect.
What's up?
All right, this is great. So now we can practice. So this is what it's going to sound like to her, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, perfect. All right. So you're dialing the number.
Right.
D-d-d-d-d-d. Yeah, it did it.
Hello?
It's ringing. Ring, ring, ring. You've reached Verizon. So-and-so is not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, it's the kid. It's the kid McLovin, and it's kind of hard to do this with everyone laughing at me.
I'm
just going to go for it.
See, you can't say that. You can't say that because she's going to know. She's going to be like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Why don't you look that way? Don't look in the studio and just leave
a
message.
Hit one and do not save. Re-record message.
Yeah, so hit one. Hit one. After the message, after this message, please leave your message for blank after the beep.
Beep.
Hey, it's the kid, McLovin. I had you cut that audio for me last weekend at the Rays game. I was just here with the rest of the show. We're doing our Washington show tonight, and I wanted to give you a call during the show. They all wanted me to. So I just wanted to see if you want to hang out sometime. If you want to give me a call back, you have my number. Talk to you later. Bye.
Really?
Yeah. You just got hung up on. Dial tone.
Yeah.
The voicemail hung up on you. That's bad.
All right. You got to keep it a little bit shorter. A little
and
bit.
And don't say. And just
a little
say,
bit cooler, too.
We didn't put you up to it.
And you got to say, hey, yeah, we didn't put you up to it. It's like, we were talking about the weekend last weekend, and I just realized I haven't heard from you. So I'm just touching base again to see if you want to do anything. You know, if you want to hang out.
Hey,
give me a call back whenever you can. No big deal.
At your convenience.
Second, this is the kid McLovin. I talked to you out at the game. Not, I'm the guy you cut audio. I met you out at the game last week. We talked a little bit. I had you record something for me. We're doing the show in D.C. Don't say Washington because, you know, Washington State computer. We're doing the show in D.C. It makes it sound big time, like you're hip, you're slang. We're doing the show in D.C. And we're talking about what we did last week, and your name came up, and I was going to give you a call and see if you'd like to hang out sometime.
Yeah, you know, if you do, no biggie. Anyway, just want to see, you know, how you doing. All right?
Yeah, don't even. I would like. I'm going with Hefe on this one. Don't say that you want to hang out sometime. I just want to see how you're doing, see what you're up to.
Yeah, give me a shout back whenever you get a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that.
Cool. All right, here we go. Let's try it again. All right.
Three.
Dial.
Two.
Delete it. And then press four to re-record. Beep.
Hey, this is the kid McLovin. We met last week at the Rays game, and I had you cut some audio for me. We were just talking on our show about what we were up to last weekend. I realized I hadn't heard from you, so I wanted to just give you a call and see what you're up to. If you want to give me a call back, you have my number. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, that's it. Love it. That was
Rack it.
Rack 'em. Perfect.
Okay, so can I just cut the audio from that and just...
Oh, no. All right, hang that one up.
And then here's the real one.
That was perfect.
Yeah, now get on the mic. Get on the mic now. Put your headphones on, dummy.
That was actually good. Look how good he is.
He's
so excited.
Turn the mic on so we can talk to you.
Oh, it wasn't on.
Yeah, that was good. All right, you good. How you feeling?
You know, and the kid, I want to tell you what some people are saying out there.
Oh, I don't want to know what they're saying.
This is golden, you guys. Tell him that he better hope he cherishes all the valuable information you're getting.
That's right. Thank you. Do you feel good? I mean, after that right there, that was it. That should be like your confidence builder, your test.
That's like you were in the bullpen, and, man, you were bringing it.
Yeah.
You were bringing it.
Right,
98.
But I'm going to be throwing wild pitches in about 2 minutes.
You're bringing it. You're throwing 98. You're painting the corners. You're breaking off the slider at about 91. And your changeup. Your changeup was working at like a 79.
What you got to do is get comfortable. Tuck it before you do it. Just sit there tucking yourself and then make the call.
All right. So now what you're going to do is you're going to take your headphones off but leave the mic on.
I do me.
Take a step back. Okay, and call her from your cell phone. If she's there, you leave a message. Regardless of what happens, put your headphones back on real fast. Regardless of what happens, if she picks up, same opening line. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? It's the same thing.
And this might be a little bit more of a confidence booster for you. Maddie, back at the station, our board op, she's a girl. And she says, I'm a chick, and I'd certainly call him back after that last message.
Perfect. Look at that. You know what they're chanting on the instant messenger? Twink,
twink, twink, twink.
All right, twink. Let's go.
Bottoms up.
Take a step back. Bottoms up. Take a step back. Take the headphones off. Dial this bitch.
Man, that the second time he did that was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was. It was perfect. That's all you can do.
Better than what I could do. You know, it's tough. And I think you could see.
Test your voice real fast. And turn around so we don't mess with you.
Yeah.
Turn around and talk.
Hello?
Perfect.
Yeah, we got you.
Perfect.
All right.
It's going to sound like I'm screaming on the voicemail.
Well, then scoot a little closer to the mic.
Try again.
Yeah, turn your mic up a little bit.
Yeah, boost that thing.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll take some room noise.
All right, perfect. Perfect. That's as far as you need to be.
Did you see how excited he was?
Yeah.
After the second time he did it.
He conquered, man.
He knocked that second voicemail out, and he was excited. And you could see the confidence building. That's great.
All right, he's dialing it right now.
Perfect.
He's got his back to us.
Go in there and flash him.
Yeah. No, don't do it. Don't do it. We're trying to help the kid out. We want to be nice.
I'll go give him some brains.
No,
right at the beep, beep, and then, oh,
hold on.
All right. He's dialing.
It's ringing.
He's sitting there. Come on, answer, woman. That'd be the greatest. She actually answered.
It doesn't seem like she's going to answer. No. She's still holding the phone.
But I think that's best for him. Yeah. I think leaving a message is best for him.
We met last week at the race game, and you had cut some audio for me. I was just giving you a call. I was on the show, and we were talking about what we did last weekend, and I hadn't heard back from you, so I'm just wondering what you're up to. If you want to give me a call back, you know my number. Talk to you later. Bye.
Perfect.
Nice. That's nice. Very good. Very good. That's good stuff, man. Now, hopefully, we were hoping that maybe you should talk, but I think put your mic and put the headphones on. Let's talk. We're still on the radio. What? Headphones on. Put your headphones
He's
on.
He's whispering. What?
All right. So, how do you feel?
Okay.
Do you feel a little? You know, she didn't pick up. So, do you feel like she hit the ignore button or?
No. I think if someone hit the ignore button, it only rings like once or twice.
Well, tell me this. What was the message you left her the first time?
God, I don't even remember.
Oh, God. That means he was nervous. He was.
Yeah, it was a train wreck. I could guarantee you that much. It was a total and complete train wreck.
Oh, man.
You know, you don't have to send those messages. You can sit there recording as many times as you want to. You just have to sit there and keep on listening to the options.
I just imagine swingers and just the uncomfortable call from swingers. And that's a young Favreau over there. You know what I mean? That's what I imagine that. But you hadn't seen swingers either, have you?
No.
Jesus. Run that one.
Just start.
We got some homework
start
for you.
Start with the S's in comedy, okay? And you can even start with SU, all right, for super bad, and then move your way on. But do yourself a favor and start watching some comedy when it comes to movies. All right, kid. This is good.
That was a good job.
And this was a spur of the moment thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was.
Like, you got another blonde chick you're kind of working a little bit too, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Well, that's all right. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You start juggling. Because we had a chick on one time. She was an annoying bitch, but she had a great concept. It was April Massini. I remember her stupid name because she was so annoying. And the book was like something like Dating Out of Your League or something like that. And she's like, it's a numbers game. Think about sales and the percentage of people that if you're in sales, you may call on and the percentage of people that will actually, A, call you back. And from the people that you call back, the ones who actually close when it comes to the sell. You know what I mean? So now for you, it's a numbers game. You're only working two bitches. That's a really, that percentage-wise, that doesn't work out for you. You need to get that up. You know, I need you 8 bitches between now and then. You're out, you're getting numbers, you're making some calls. You know what I mean?
Now, I think I might have an idea way we could get him out there and work on his number. Like, if he went out and did this pulling audio, like, we may need to just go out here with give him a microphone, because I think he may feel a little comfortable with a microphone in his hand meeting some of these girls.
I think he's way more comfortable when it comes to the idea of being on the radio. All right, well, there it is, the twink, the kid McLovin. I'm proud of you, my man. Will you give us an update?
I will give you an update.
I know you're using this bit on like 3 other shows now, right?
Just one.
Which one?
The one tomorrow morning.
Really? They're doing that on that show?
Yeah.
As PDA, I may have to think about that. but nonetheless, well, cool. We'll keep us up to date. We want to know what's what. All right, are we now ready that we can take some calls and give away some stuff?
800-636-1067. We're going to play Hideout or Hogwash. We have a bunch of different scenarios. Some of them happened to a Hideout member. Some of them didn't. If it happened to a Hideout member and you think it happened to a Hideout member, you say, that's Hideout. If you don't think it happened, it's Hogwash.
All right, and here's the one that we got for you.
It's time to play Hideout or Hogwash.
Here's the question. You can start lining up the phones now. We got something out of the JFK Prize Club. Did a Hideout member once be a suspect in a felony investigation involving a city worker, an orange, a tractor, and a school bus? Is that Hideout or Hogwash?
Call 800-636-1067. This is going to be a very, very quick break. So give us a call, and we will get you on to play Hideout or Hogwash.
Yeah, hop on, line them up, and we'll get to you next in the Hideout, 106.7 WJFK.
You're in the Hideout.
The Hideout with El Jefe and J-Dubs.
Oh, they're totally gay for each other.
The Hideout.
The Hideout.
Live.
you guys feel you have to be so negative.
Hang up on the whore. Next caller.
Negative.
You shut the hell up, sir. Get in a car accident right now. Look
get
at you.
It.
You already got the lung cancer. You beast.
Negative.
The face fits kicking.
Negative.
We're done with you and your show sucks. Beat it.
The Hideout with El Jefe and J-Dubs.
Such a negative influence.
Back in the Hideout on a Saturday night, 106.7 WJFK. About to get out of here. We got Dubs over there chewing on some popcorn. The soccer patch is eating his toenails.
Actually, that skin off the bottom.
The Kid McLovin holding things down. I am El Jefe, your host in this crazy little world we call the Hideout. We just got done talking, helping the Kid McLovin.
Yeah.
He got a number from a chick, which is a huge step for him as a 26-year-old virgin. He called her once the next day. Bad move. Hadn't heard back. He worked up the sack to call her again here just the last segment. And you were saying you don't think she's going to call back, though, Kid?
I don't think so.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Just a gut feeling I get.
Because you met her in person?
That could be it.
Do you think that first phone call was too much for you to get over? You know what I mean? Like,
no, what do you mean?
That first voicemail that was probably so awkward, you know?
The whole thing has been awkward. It hasn't been smooth at all. I'll be perfectly honest with
that
you.
That last call was smooth, though. I'm very proud of you, my man. I'm very proud of you. All right, if you want to play the game, Hideout or Hogwash, we're lining people up now to play that.
800-636-1067. There's some lines open.
Here's what I wanted to know really quickly, too. Let's before we go anywhere else, let's talk to Joe Artinger. Joe Radio's coming up
in a while.
9 o'clock.
Howdy, y'all.
What's going on, Sir Joe?
So I didn't make it last week. I was here, but I was like 15 minutes late to my own life, and I just couldn't stop in the Hideout.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then the week before, we had the phone lines down, so I did best of.
Yeah, and then the week before that, like the two or three weeks before that, we were pre-recorded.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So it's been a while.
So how's everything going and for Joe Radio?
Just fine. I think we have two listeners now.
Yeah, I think we're you're building on the one that we have. So that's good. That's the positive momentum that you want going
forward. That's a strong lead-in, guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, anything that we can do. Are you getting back into the idea of the summer series or no?
Oh, yeah. But tonight it's just – well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about – just summertime memories. It's beautiful up here in D.C. tonight. And so just kind of, I don't know, reminiscing about, you know, specific things that happened to you in the summertime.
Summer loving. Happened so fast.
Anything like that, you know, old keg party stories, maybe even some ghost stories. So we're just going to roll it around on a Saturday night. I also got a new game.
What's the game?
It's called Saturday Night Date.
All right.
So stay tuned for that.
Very good.
Now, Joe,
yeah.
We're just talking to the Kid McLovin.
Oh, yeah.
And do you have any advice for him on how to get chicks?
Well,
how does the Joe work?
Well, one thing I think he violated was when you get a new number, you got to go 48 hours ice.
Easily.
Yeah, you can't call. And that's an age-old, time-tested, you know, truism. So you might have screwed the pooch right there. But other than that, you know, I mean, 26, Lord, when I was... When I was 26, I was practically a one-man crime spree.
Good stuff. There's Joe Artinger, Joe Radio.
Take
Thank you,
easy.
Joe. Appreciate it, my man.
See
it. Stick around for that. It's good stuff. Again, if you want to line up, play the game, 800-636-1067.
We have Dave on the line.
Dave going to play the game, Hideout or a Hogwash. Very simple. You either say it was a member of the Hideout did it, or it's Hogwash. All right, Dave, you there?
Yeah.
Dave, all right, here we go, Dave. Hold on, let me play this fancy open.
It's time to play Hideout or Hogwash.
All right, here we go. Here's the question. This is basically a guessing 50-50 type situation. Did a member of the Hideout once be a suspect for a felony investigation involving a city worker, an orange, a tractor, and a school bus? Is that Hideout? Or is that Hogwash?
Hideout.
That's correct, my man. You are a winner. Hang tight. Congratulations, Dave. Hold on. Now, the question is, who was it? Who was it that committed that? If that was you, I want you to step forward in the hideout.
The kid steps up.
What is that? What happened? By the way, if you want to get in, that opens up a line, 800-636-1067.
Very easy game, 50-50 shot.
I was going to guess him, but as a joke.
What happened?
Freshman year in high school, I was on the track team.
So this was last year?
No.
Run, yeah. Forrest,
run. Looks like it.
Mm-hmm. I was on the track team, and we were going on a track meet or whatever. It was up North Florida somewhere, so we left early that morning from the school to go to the track meet. Well, on the bus, they give you oranges and all that good stuff to eat on the way up there. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the kid sitting behind me was a senior, decided it would be fun to throw oranges out the window at cars, threw them in the sunroofs, and...
All right, you just call them Dubs, then.
Yeah.
The Dubs of your track team.
The Dubs of my track team. So...
Cool kid.
What happened was, we come up to a tractor that was in the right-hand lane. On the way by, he throws an orange, hits the guy in the tractor right in the face. Well, next stoplight, the guy in the tractor is all... upset and stuff. And
why?
He gets off the tractor and calls the cops and holds us all up, and they interviewed me, and they interviewed the kid behind me, told us we were both suspects in a felony crime.
And you snitched. You snitched on a little
tell?
Girl,
no,
didn't you?
I didn't
you
say
tell?
A word. I didn't
snitches
say a word.
Get snitches.
I didn't say a word.
Did you? Really?
Nope.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah, I thought you'd roll over quick.
You seem like the guy that would roll over very,
I just kept
very
my mouth
fast.
Shut. I didn't see anything.
Wow. Good for you, man. I'm proud of you there, kid. So is there anything else that you've done in your life that maybe you want to admit to?
That was my best story right there.
Wow. And that's it, huh?
And here I was thought that you actually did something, and it turned out to be somebody else.
Huh. Very, all right. Very interesting.
800-636-1067. Only got a few minutes left to play this game, so if anybody wants to jump in.
You know what's kind of interesting, and I know we haven't really talked about it this week, but... This would have gone into Hideout or Hogwash, but, you know, I just, for whatever reason, memories are starting to, like, they're starting to make their way back into my mind, and like, just randomly. And last week, I admitted that I tried to tongue kiss my mom.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here for that.
What?
Yeah.
How old were you? You were like 6, 7?
Like 13.
Oh, no.
What?
Last week.
Yeah. We talked about it last week, but essentially it was, you know, you kiss your mom on the mouth like a little peck, you know, like I love you,
yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
I don't kiss my mom on the mouth regardless. I've never kissed my mom on the mouth.
I don't know if I do or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's your mom, so it's really, like, not that big a
it's
deal.
It's always
yeah.
on the cheek.
Right. What about the kid? You never did anything like that?
I've seen pictures of mom. I wouldn't kiss her on the mouth either.
On the cheek, but that's it.
Yeah, okay, so you guys are the odd ones then. And
you're tongue kissing her.
And yeah. I don't know, I was confused and I stuck my tongue out.
You wanted to know what it felt like,
how
right?
How could you be confused and stick your tongue out when it's your mom? Where's the confusion there?
I don't know, I just don't know. I
had a cousin accuse me of trying to slip her the tongue last week.
What? Last week? All right, what happened?
That's serious, we were leaving. We were camping. They left a day early, and you know, something. My aunt, I'll give her a little peck on the lips or something like that. And apparently, she said, "I said no, I didn't." But she, you know, I give her a little kiss on the lips, and she. I'm like, what? You know, and she said, "You just tried to slip me the tongue." And she said that as I was kissing her,
it was just her dip.
That I was kissing her, that I kind of, you know, stuck my tongue out just right there on the verge of my lips, and then she felt my tongue. And I vehemently denied it. No. But you know, now that I think of it, like when I kiss my girl now, sometimes I find myself doing that a little bit. And I think I may actually try to slip a cousin of mine the tongue.
And that might be excusable, but Hefe, you never slipped a tongue before, so it was very contrived and pushed.
Yeah, and the look of horror on my mama's face was one that I'll never forget. Like apparently she's forgotten about it, but. You know, because we called her on the air last week to ask her about it, and she was, She's like, no, what are you talking about? But I remember, like, some things you don't forget.
Well, she thought at first you were accusing her of trying to give you tongue.
Yeah, but I'm like, no, it was me. I mean, it was. It was me.
Why would you do that? Would you, you know, watch it on TV and say, that's how I'm supposed to kiss?
I think I was probably closer to 9 or 11. You know, I didn't really know, but you're kind of at that age where you're beginning to turn.
Yeah, you're starting to notice different sexual things, different things interest you.
Yeah, and so I think it was at that point where, you know, it was one of those situations, and I think we were around family, too. Like, we weren't alone. Like, I specifically remember someone sitting next to me.
Oh, PDA with your mom.
Yeah, it was really, as I look back, it was really bad. But,
Thanksgiving.
You know,
ruined the turkey.
But, you know, that's what happened. It happens sometimes. It is the Hideout, Hefe and Dubs, 106.7 WJFK. If you want to get in, 800-636-1067. The instant messenger is Hideout Radio. Anything else happened when you were in Arkansas at all, Satch a Patch? Anything that you have,
You know, it was a good time. We fished. We caught enough fish to have a fish fry on that Friday to feed like 54 satchels.
Do you like the family reunion thing? Because I got one coming up.
I actually do. I come from it's odd. Like, we play games and stuff like that. It's a real family friendly environment. But
yeah, you're kissing
my family.
Each other.
No, it's things we have like a competition. You know, Princess Broadbottom, for instance, and Princess Broadbottom. This specific game. The organization is called Princess Broadbottom, and once a year there'll be a head princess named, and she's head princess of the Princess Broadbottom organization. And the way you determine this is the married men take their women down to like the sandbar area, and the women sit on the ground, and the men grab their women by their legs and drag them through the sand. And after they're dragged through the sand, someone goes back and measures the marks they leave, and the widest mark wins. She's then dubbed Princess Broadbottom for the year.
Does that come before or after Hide the Knuckle? I'm just wondering where at any point that comes in.
It
doesn't sound right.
So this is family though, and you guys are you're basically having games to see who has the biggest ass.
Well, that one is, you know, that's one we had, like, there's always a theme to it. This year's theme, because it's an Olympic year, we had, you know, like,
you have theme parties.
Yeah, kind of, you know, we LARP. it's a family reunion of LARPing. But, you know, it was Olympic events. There was an equestrian event. And actually, like, there'd be horse jumping. We put a horse down it. A horse broke its leg making a jump.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. You had to pull the tent out and shoot it.
Yeah, but that's it wasn't that big of a deal. But the horse in the equestrian event broke a leg. We actually had to put a horse down.
Are they proud of you because you're on the radio? Like, you're the one successful satchel?
No, actually, no. Like, you know, it's odd.
Rednecks? And I'm not, you know, disparaging you at all, but rednecks, they always look at, like, the person who moves away as kind of an outcast and everything, and they're proud of the one who owns a really nice truck and makes, $13 an hour doing construction. That's the guy who's made it.
Well, actually, in my opinion, he's made it too, because I drive a two-tone Honda Hoop PT making, you know, $10,000 less than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not that. It's just I went off to do my thing, and I enjoy going back. I enjoy my family. It's a real tight-knit family. And, you know, at Christmas time, there'll be 80, 90 to 100 people of, you know, a family that generated out of a town of maybe 100, you know, 100 people, 200 people.
How is that possible?
That's inbreeding. That's inbreeding.
No, it's not. It was like the mother and the father, like great-grandpa.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
I have three, but like great-grandpa Satchel had 8 kids, and from those 8 kids, those 8, which would be my father's grandparents, all lived in, like, within blocks of each other, and they had 4 and 5 kids apiece, and they all...
Why do Mexicans get a bum rap when you see this redneck stuff?
Well, that's what it is. They're very tight-knit. They grew up together. They stayed together.
They slept together.
And, I mean, for years, when their parents would take them camping and stuff like that to the lake, they all went, and it just became a family tradition, and now there's, you know, 50 to 60 people that go every year, once a year, to the lake, and you know, play these games, you know, find out who's going to be Princess Broadbottom.
The youngest.
We have fishing derbies, you know. Like, she's never caught a fish before. She thought a worm was a snake, because I remember we first got there, there was this, a pretty big, good-sized earthworm that was kind of crawling on the ground and actually touched me on the back of the leg about the same time she pointed.
I don't know if you know, but that was your uncle's penis.
No, but she touched it and hollered snake. You know, as it touched me, she's hollering snake. And so, you know, of course, I jumped, but she didn't know the difference between an earthworm and a snake. And before that week was over, you know, you hear like a trot line. You'd run trot lines. Well, we would catch brim and then pretty much run a hook between this back fin and spine, put it on a laundry detergent or a milk jug, and we'd have 80 of these. We'd have 80 brim. We'd hook them all up right around sunset, go out in the boat, throw them all out, come back in the morning before sunrise, and most of these jugs and stuff will float together in the same area, except you'll see about, you know, 10 to 15, 20 of them maybe in the lake and moving around. You know that one's got a fish. And we caught a 43-pound catfish.
Hell?
We caught a 43-pound catfish. Now, this is about 4 foot long.
Did you
long.
Do it by noodling?
No, we didn't noodle it. Now, noodling, if people don't know, is when you stick your hand down in a catfish bed, yeah, and you stick your arm down his throat.
And now people lose their fingers and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the fish literally bites your arm, and you're pulling it up by the bite.
They don't let go. But catfish, they do have small, not teeth, but almost like a barb, how it's wired. Their teeth are kind of like that. But, you know, we'd catch fish, a 43-pound catfish, and in the morning, you know, we'd go out before sunrise, and we'd already caught 15 catfish. Boom. Clean them. Fresh. We cook it, cooked it that following
Friday. You know what's crazy? The statues, they're the cockroaches of the world. They're the ones that'll survive if there's any sort of destruction.
Mad Max is...
Oh, my goodness. The Hideout, Hefe and Dubs, 106.7 WJFK. See, I got a family reunion coming up, and I'm going to be all skinny for it now that I'm on this program. But it's weird because my family reunions, they're like... They're award ceremonies.
So really? We actually have award ceremonies
people
also.
People stand up and they talk about what's the new thing. So-and-so just got this job. So-and-so's been promoted here. And
I come from a middle-class white family. What we do, we eat, we watch some TV, we barely talk, and then we go home. I like it that way.
You're talking about awards. It's not so serious about job promotions. We actually have awards and stuff like that we gave out. Because I got a hard time because everybody saw me go over in the dad
room. Who won Greatest Asses here?
No. Princess Broadbottom, Aunt Nina, she always wins. She's won it like 5 years running. But
it's juicy.
But anyway, I caught a lot of slack for taking the canoe over to the backside of Goat Island, and they all knew what was going on. Yeah, they all knew what was going on, and they kept saying, Flip's going over there to pet the goats again. And somebody went, did he take his girlfriend with her? And the cousin, I think you have to take your girlfriend with you if you're going to pet goats. So come the award ceremony time, I got the pet goats award, you know?
So everyone knows you're going back there to have sex with the kids.
Kinda. You know, we were trying to be slick, and that was one of the bad things about it, is it's obvious. But, you know, my dad broke our boat. So usually I would take the girl out on a jet ski. And it's not that backwards. As backwards as you think it is.
Yes, it is.
No.
It's every bit of it.
It's family fun till noon, or till 11 or something like that. After that, at 1 o'clock, I talked to you one day. I'd just gotten off the boat. It was water skiing, wakeboarding. And this is something I've done as a little kid. I can get on a wakeboard and actually get out there and cut up. Get on a water ski. It's not all fishing and redneck stuff. We have ski competitions, wakeboarding, stuff like that, tube. It's just going, having, you know, playing on the water, boat, fishing.
That sounds like an awful life.
Tell me about your family reunion.
It's awful. I mean, sucks too, but I think yours sucks a little bit more.
What's the grand finale? Is it the award ceremony? Is it the lynchings? Is your version of a fireworks display?
It's for
burning a black church.
The fish fry. The fish fry at the end of the week is usually the end of it. We catch fish all week long. With the fish fry on Friday for lunch, after that's over, you know, sometimes people pack up camp or, you know, they'll stay a little bit longer. But it's a good time.
I think it's more of all the guys, all the sons get around in a circle and grandma's the biscuit. And I think that's probably what the grand finale is. Something really disgusting like that.
No, but it's having fun, dragging your woman in the sand.
Those are family values. F families.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing. It sounds really like it really does sound.
It sounds too intimate.
Yeah, I tell you what, you really can't describe it, and it's every morning.
Deliverance.
Every morning there's like we do a little church service. We raise the flag.
Church.
We would sing. No, it wasn't really a church service. There'd be like we'd sing three songs. You know, one of my cousins plays a guitar, and he would pitch. He's like a youth director in his church, and he would pick the song they were going to play, and we'll have a flag raising ceremony. Pick. Everybody will say the Pledge of Allegiance and do that thing.
My hating hat.
The what?
Nothing.
But it's a good time.
I enjoyed it. I always go back.
What'd your chick think? The Cuban chick. What'd she think?
She thought it was unbelievable. Like, she really had a good time to the point where, you know, you don't have to ask. Like, my brother was always, you having a good time? You're all right. She was always walking off. Really didn't know what to think about it. Running off. My dad's walking around. Your brother can't control his woman.
Do they run around nude or no? Does that none of that happen?
At night only. No running water. You bathe in the lake.
Oh, God.
You drop in the lake, too. And that's what the bad thing. You have to, I tell you what, you get a life jacket, and if you see somebody grunting, swimming, almost doing a doggy
paddle,
and you're swimming away fast, and it starts to float.
Do you hear that? Their toilet is the very lake that they bathe in. They go in there to do that.
Oh, dear God.
There's no outhouse or anything?
Nope. Let's go line one, Chucklehead. Chucklehead, you there? No Chucklehead. All right. You want to talk about fishing? I wanted to get a little redneck banter between him and Satchel Paige.
Wow. You drop mud in the lake where you bathe?
You don't even have to wipe afterwards.
All right.
You don't even clean.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah, I understand.
It's great. But it's sometimes like if you're out in a boat and you have to go, you're like, I have to go right now, you jump off and then you got 10 people in the boat and they're looking and laughing and pointing, and here you are grunting, swimming away. And then I look at his face is red.
Do we have time to do one quick Hideout or Hogwash?
No, we're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell Justin you should have called in when we first announced it.
Yeah, we're done.
Sorry, bro.
We tease people too much for an hour. Enough already. I love it, man. I love it. I love how backwards you are. We should take them photos and stuff.
I have photos.
You got to put them up on Hideout Heretics. When are we going to get to see a photo of your chick? I'm interested.
Probably not.
Why not?
Why can't we see a pic?
I'll show y'all a picture.
All right.
I'm going to keep her as far away from the Hideout as possible. What happened last time? You didn't hear my point from the last time I was here.
Yeah, still. My chick's listening now. That way we can have friends.
Your chick LARPs.
Yeah. He's cool. What about you, the Kid McLovin? When this girl calls you back and you guys are banging 2 weeks from now, you going to bring her in the Hideout?
No way.
Jeez.
No way.
What about you, Dubs?
Of course.
Get your new chick.
I always ruin relationships. I enjoy it. Sport.
Hey, here's a question for you.
Sure.
Think your new roommate might want to come out and hang out one night?
Let me move in first.
Yeah, that's true. See, I'm kind of torn because I don't want to ruin that because I want him to stay at it. I don't want to ruin your roommate setup because I need you to stay out of my house. Man, I've already planned that room, like everything. Like, I'm really bummed he's still got 10 days left.
You're going to give your sorry-ass cats their own little bedroom so they can go shed everywhere and have their own... Talk about pooping in the lake. You got your cats. You have a little box. You should put a frame around their doo-doo box on the floor.
Well, why don't you and the satchels think about that?
You and your doo-doo box.
Why don't y'all think about a kitty litter box there at the lake?
Wow, when you got the water.
It's so dirty. Did you drink out of it, too?
It's actually one of the cleanest lakes in Arkansas.
Not anymore, obviously. Not anymore.
How do fish do it all the time?
You guys have a fantastic...
Fish don't poop.
You never see those stringy things?
All righty. You guys have a fantastic rest of your week. Joe Radio is on the way. I want to remind you, the podcasts will be up in the next 24, 48 hours. Just keep checking WJFK.com.
I've been doing a great job of keeping those up.
Yeah, that's all me. And next week we'll have a whole new show. But in the meantime...
Oh! Yardstickofdeath.com. Yardstickofdeath.com. Updated.
We didn't even think about that for your digital dirt. I want to thank Regina Lewis who came... Yeah, Yardstick of Death. You better hope no one in this building finds out about that. Yardstickofdeath.com, hideoutheretics.net has every link, every show, every anything that's related to the Hideout. You guys have a fantastic rest of your week. Until next time. By the way, to the mother base, to the Hideout mother base, stay tuned because we got one final update from the Kid McLovin on his Hideout minutes just as soon as this is out. Until next time, we out, bitch. 5,000.
5,000. I be smacking my hoes. Everyone knows it goes. Kick them to the floor, step on them hard, step on them hard, kick them to the floor, cause I be smacking my hoes.
I be smacking my hoes. I be smacking my hoes.
I'm not interested.
I don't.
I, 5,000.
It's time for the Hideout Minutes with the Kid McLovin.
In this hour of the Hideout, the kid called the girl who gave him his number. We learned about how the kid was once a suspect in a felony crime. We learned about the Satchel family reunion and came to the conclusion that there were way too many Satchels in one place. Make sure you check for the podcast. It will be up in the next 24 hours. Now you're up to date on the Hideout. 5,000.
You're JFK, and we love the kid. Woo!